All right, so you just want me to start recording now? You don't care?
Yeah, yeah, just start. I can sync it in afterwards.
Oh, alrighty.
I like how we go through this every time anyone from Pre-Order 66 comes on.
Yeah.
Guys are racists.
Hi, everyone. This is WTF at TFW episode 255, and I finished, or at least caught up on, Breaking Bad. So I'm going to pat myself on the back. Take a round of applause. Yeah, yeah. So I finished the show and then went straight to YouTube to watch the last 4.5 years of YouTube reacting to Breaking Bad. It was good times. Joining me today is Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Pinkman.
I am the one who knocks.
Oh, I love that. That's one of the most badass things in all of television.
The best part is
story
that now I can start dropping all these Breaking Bad references years out of date, and everyone's just gonna. Oh,
I think the most badass thing was when the end, when he's making the deal, and he's like, "What's your name?" He's like, "You know who I am."
Say
just
my
say
name.
It. Yeah, say my name. You know who I am.
You're goddamn right. Hey, who's that talking over? Is that...
Just... You know who I am. You know.
But the thing with the whole one... Okay, the one who knocked speech was awesome, except for he wasn't the one who knocked. Jesse knocked, and Jesse pulled the trigger. He should have said, "I'm the guy who sends the guy who knocks."
I am the one who sends the guy to knock.
He had that "I won" speech to Skylar when she was like, "What happened?"
I won.
Well, that's not so much a speech, is it?
He just said, no, it's a really efficient speech, is what it is.
That's a proclamation.
It was poignant. It just got to the point, and you were like, "Okay,
I want Bryan Cranston's voice,
just in a bottle, or
I just want to be able to activate like the gravel that he like just fire. I want his voice, and I want Gustavo's face.
What are you, Optimus Prime? Give me your face.
Hey, guess what, everyone? We have a third person with us, and it's the Emperor 3.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Ah, pretty good. So you're one of the most eminent Transformers fans on the planet right now.
Yep.
I hope you don't mind that it's been a while since we've had you on. I know you've got lots to say, and you know, you've been bottling it up since, what, episode 2, last time we had you on here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, if anyone even knows who I am.
Oh, he's the Emperor 3 on Twitter. Every now and then he tweets about how much he hates 12-inch perfect model Wild Tiger. Just how much he hates
him. I'm super, super judgmental over everything.
Picky, you know, high-end toy collectors. Oh, the one they put watch batteries in my toys. What a bunch of...
The only fashion figures I like to collect are more like... The equivalent of a Rolls Royce compared to your common man, everyday Honda Civic toy collector.
I drove a Honda Civic for a while. True story. I think I picked Chris up in a Honda Civic.
The worst part of all this is you were right about Wild Tiger, and that was disappointing. I was so ready to just bust that toy out and just go like, "All right, John." And then I messed with it for a day and I was like, "Wow, this is a really good toy that when I don't pay full price for it, damn it.
You win this round."
Friggin' 3 on the end of his name.
Damn your to the point synopsis that was completely correct.
Oh, none of the photos had me convinced you were right. I was so ready. I was like, "You have just been buying too many hot toys. You have too many Iron Men." Not the case.
Never enough Iron Men. Did you have any QC issues with yours?
No, mine was nice.
Like, there's bubbles in the clear plastic in mine and stuff.
No, I got a nice one. And the only okay, here's my QC problem. They marked it down, and then Hobby Search's shipping was like $50, and then I had to pay $30 customs when it showed up, so I actually didn't save any money.
Yes!
It all balanced right back up.
Take that! Do you think they're still gonna do... Bunny?
See, I mean, the mold is there. I think Bunny and Akiba Red are going to come out someday, but I think that they might rethink how they do those toys if Wild Tiger didn't do well over there as well.
Well, here's my I mean, it had to have not done well because they discounted it so hardcore everywhere, but my theory is I think partially it was inflated just because of the way the currency was going. I feel like the yen to dollar is what caused it to be so high at some point, but I still think they were shooting the moon even with...
I just want you to get your hands on the C-3PO so you can have the experience I had of having the C-3PO proper. And then having the Wild Tiger. Like, right down to the packing material. C-3PO is in styrofoam with individually wrapped parts. Wild Tiger is in a plastic tray with tissue paper crammed in his back. Like,
and a huge ass base.
Like, it was amazing. Like just the disparity. And I was like, this is really weird because now I honestly don't even, like, all I know about 12-inch perfect model is it's Bandai doing toys what are 12 inches tall.
Like, so that's the Bandai one you're talking about?
Yeah.
I was really tempted with that when they first announced it because at the moment I just sort of had like this itch for a really nice R2-D2. And then they announced that in C-3PO, and I was like, well, you know, if you're going to get R2, you might as well get C-3PO also. And then, like, the prices just shut that whole thing down.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently those are worth it.
It's because, yeah, it's made of, like, 99% die-cast with really nice finish on it and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally get that it's awesome.
It's just, it's
but friggin' expensive. It's more expensive than I was looking to buy.
No, yeah,
and then Hasbro announced the whole black 6-inch, the Black Label series. And 6-inch is my wheelhouse.
So
and how, then I was like, okay, well, I'll just get those.
How do they make a Black Label and Lando Calrissian's not in the first wave?
Wait, just
I don't
wait.
Understand.
He's in the back. And also, that's racist.
Yeah.
It's not racist. I didn't name it.
Yeah, Eric Siebenhaler named it. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me he's not on Transformers anymore.
And now that Lando's been mentioned, pause listening to this. Listen to any current episode of Pre-Order 66, because at some point they're going to quote Lando for about 15 minutes straight and then come back.
I'm the administrator of this facility?
I don't listen to that podcast. What's a Pre-Order 66?
I don't either. Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to, and then you know, after this whole Wild Tiger thing, Empire was just like, I don't listen to it. I was like, okay, you know what? You were right last time. I'm just going to take your word on this.
Oh, congratulations on having a website.
Oh, thanks.
I still don't believe it. Okay, here's
hell
how
froze over.
Here's how it goes. Just... Okay, I see all these tweets about a preorder66.com, and I don't believe it exists. And as long as I don't ever go to the URL, as far as I know, it doesn't exist. So
that's like, good.
Schrodinger's cat.
I'm personally negating the entire website.
I'm just gonna start tweeting images at you all the time.
Yeah, great Photoshop. Great Photoshop. Good Photoshop job. Nice design, Doc. Good job.
You know, I'm just gonna start a smear campaign on there about you, and then. You know, if you never see it, it doesn't exist, right?
Hey, listen, is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow?
Well, it's...
No.
So you're viewing it as Schrodinger's cat. As long as you don't click the link, it's both alive and dead at the same time.
Exactly, and all you guys are just trying to trick me talking about it on Twitter, and you know
what? I'm just gonna send you shortened links that don't show what it is until you randomly click it.
Oh.
Check out this picture, it's really
tiny
awesome.
URL.
Just got tiny URL, bitch.
You're gonna make me start using that stupid show me the tiny URL page before I actually see the tiny URL page thing.
Your ass just got tiny URL'd.
Tiny URL / not preorder 66. Oh, that must be a good link.
This has gotta not be it.
Your ass just got bit.ly'd.
What?
That's another one of those shorteners, isn't it?
Bit.ly. I forgot about it. I never pronounced it before. I always literally, I parsed it as bit.ly.
No.
So, you do think Bunny will come at some point?
What?
Probably in the distant future?
I will be astounded if they don't put that out. I mean,
From what I hear, bunnies are always coming.
That's right.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Unreleased fig arts is one thing, but unreleased, like, finished paint masters of 12-inch tall figures with lights built into them is a different thing, in my opinion. Like, there's... Maybe it'll be a web exclusive, because that's the out. Because if they do a web exclusive, then it's halfway's made to order, right? So then they can at least like have a profitable production run without having to make estimates and potentially make too many.
So would you buy Bunny at a higher rate than you bought Tiger just to have them both?
Someday in the future, I'm going to be on Mandarake and I'm going to have just got a paycheck and I'm going to sit there going like, I have hundreds of dollars and nothing, and then that's going to be the end of that.
All right.
That's how Mandarake works. I was just on there the other day thanks to John Spanring, because he was like, hey, look, United Bruticus parts you don't have. And I was like, okay. And then when I got the email saying, hey, oh, sorry, bro, they sold out, I was like, thank God. that would have been the start of a horrible trail, because I spent an hour looking for something else to go with them so that they would go over 5,000 yen. Yeah, and then I stopped myself and I was like, what am I doing? And I just ordered them. And I was like, I'll eat the 500 yen because spending another 3,000 yen to not spend 500 yen is the stupidest thing in the world.
Or is it?
I don't even know anymore. All I know is I'm missing Fig Arts, but I can wait. They're still there. Anyway, welcome to our Transformers podcast. We're going to talk about Transformers today, and we're going to start off by talking about a book. Let me tell you about the good book. It's called Transformers, The Covenant of Primus. And it is, as far as I can tell, and this is, I'm paraphrasing and hypothesizing, it is basically going to be, and me and Seth were just talking about this, like, what, 2 weeks ago. It's going to be that design doc put together in the form of a nice big hardcover book, and they're taking it even farther. So this thing's going to be based entirely on this aligned continuity thing, and if you've been listening to the show, you know that continuity is the wrong word for it. But to summarize, for in case this is your first episode, the aligned continuity is more like a design doc than it is a continuity outline. And we first saw images of it at a PowerPoint slide at BotCon 2010, and we never really saw much since until recently when artists were cleared to post their artwork here and there. So this thing is gonna be full of mythology and stuff, which is fun. You know, I like that stuff, just like, because this is gonna be a one-off mythology thing. It's, you know, just take what you like out of it and whatever. Don't get up and don't freak out that there's a guy called Quintus Prime, the creator of the Quintessons. Because I saw people freaking out about that on Twitter, and I was like, calm down.
Wait. There's a Quintus Prime?
Yeah.
I can't be on the show.
He's the progenitor of the Quintessons. He gave birth to all of them.
At once?
Yep.
In a row?
And he's like, oh no. Oh, what did I do?
What have I done?
I'm going to walk away from you. I'll go on this planet. I'll call it, I don't know, Quintessa. It's kind of like my name. Anyway, bye-bye.
Wasn't there a continuity somewhere, like, mentioned in G1 or something at some point that the Quintessons were a possible origin of Transformers?
In the G1 cartoon, they are the creators of the Transformers.
Yeah. They made them as a slave race.
Weren't there multiple origins, though?
And oh, like, oh, yeah. Oh,
then there was another episode that same season that somebody else created the Transformers. But
the origin of Devastator and Megatron is the answer to why you don't worry about G1 continuity.
I mean, look, I'm personally not going to get upset if, according to the official document, that the Quintessons were begotten by one of the original 13 or whatever. But personally, I like the idea better of the Quintessons being this whole separate race. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to be the creators of Transformers. In fact, maybe it's kind of goofy if they were, but I like the idea of them being a separate race. Maybe they came along later, enslaved early Transformers, but whatever.
Who built the 13, though? If these are all mechanical beings.
The 13 were born of Primus. So they
were Primus.
Primus is God.
But he's a robot. He had to have been assembled.
Guess what? God is a robot. Chicken and the egg.
No. God is a giant monster that the Authority killed. I read it.
In Kamen Rider Agito, God was the Overlord of Darkness, and the Overlord of Light instilled evolution in humanity to go and fight God. True story.
I thought it was a construct of ancient civilizations to generate a control structure to dominate the masses.
All I'm going to say is no discussion of religion in the topic. Yo.
We are in so much trouble.
Uh-oh. Hey, so this Covenant of Primus is going to, for the first time, reveal the stories of the 13 Primes. The narrative will also cover the Golden Age of the Transformer civilization and the war between Optimus Prime and Megatron, and finally the present day on Earth. Everything up until the war between Optimus Prime and Megatron is the kind of stuff I am totally ready to devour, because I love that kind of stuff. This is going to contain 60 never-before-seen illustrations, 20 commissioned just for the book. The hardcover book's going to be housed in a custom case shaped like the Autobot emblem. The classic mechanical quote-unquote transforming sound is triggered when the reader pulls open the three segments of the case. That's going to make the book, it's a 176-page book, hardcover with that case is going to be $99, due out in December 3rd.
Where can I get it? Amazon? Or?
Probably. A lot of people.
Retailers everywhere.
I've seen a lot of people snarking the nuts out of both the price and the case, and all I'm going to say is you can all go suck an egg because a case that makes transforming noises that makes a hardcover book cost $99 is fine by me.
So well, you're telling me your battery's going to die in a day because you're just going to open, close, open,
close, open, close. Guess what the video review of the book is going to be? It's going to be one solid hour. Just and in every couple of minutes, I'm going to giggle.
The MSRP might be $99, but if it is on Amazon, I bet like you...
$70 yeah. or something.
Yeah, I bet you at least be $10 off initially.
Yeah.
And then wait a couple of months, and it's going to be even cheaper still.
Yeah. And
but looking at this list of names, one of the 13 is just named 13.
Yep.
All right.
He's the one that no one gave a crap about.
They ran out of ideas.
they ran out of time. They're like, well, we need to print this book. Isn't there one more?
Yeah 13.
They just had the list of the 13. And as they came up with the names and backstories, they would fill it in. And then they just never got around to it. To or number 13.
They miscounted.
They hit 12 and they're like, we're out of ideas. I don't know what to do.
Just a last little bit of info about the book. It's going to be written by Justina Robson, and some of the illustrations are going to be done by people such as Ken Christensen, Casey Collar, Livio Ramondel, and Emiliana Santalucia. Those are all artists whose Transformers work I have enjoyed greatly. Yes, I enjoyed Livio's work. Fight me. Mikey has my back. True story. Me and Mikey are cool with Livio.
Mikey who?
Michelangelo? The Ninja Turtle?
Paleontologist Mikey.
Oh, you mean Mikey! The boy from Ireland! Oh, fair the big order!
Irish paleo!
Oh, jeez, I don't know today.
Another bandwagon people need to stop jumping on is flipping out about Livio Ramondelli's artwork, because it's not for everyone, but some of you guys are cartoony in the way that you don't like it.
Isn't that what the internet's for?
It is, but there are so many other places to aim that aggro. I don't understand. I think some people just don't like Livio's artwork because they saw someone else not like it more than they did, and they thought they could do better, is the feeling I get.
There's way, way more awful artists to be upset with.
Yeah.
Like that, all that...
Ulysses.
The effort you're putting into not liking that guy, you could be putting into not liking Rob Liefeld.
Rob Ruffalo, yeah. Even.
Rob Liefeld should be at the bottom of, or the top of everyone's hated artist list.
Who's the guy that traces everything, like the porn actresses?
Greg Land.
Yeah, he's not a bad artist. Like, he traces, but at least his art looks good.
Well, when he doesn't trace, it doesn't look bad, is the thing I would
say. It's creepy that he's tracing porn actresses, though.
He just doesn't, it's not just porn. I mean, he traces everything. He even traces, like, Jim Lee art. I mean...
I want to see a guy who draws a comic book using nothing but porno stills with costumes drawn on top.
I got some Rob links Liefeld. For you.
Oh, no.
I want to know the model that Rob Liefeld learned to draw off of. Like, is it just someone that was horribly deformed and didn't have feet and, like, elongated legs?
Yeah, it was his Uncle Rufus.
Yeah, I just don't think he learned how to draw.
Rufus Liefeld is all of the Liefeld superheroes.
Look, I've had two personal encounters with Rob Liefeld
in actual life.
And both times... I walked away with the impression that he's the only dude from that era of comic books I ever met, like artist. Like I never met Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, anybody else. The only artist I've ever met is Rob Liefeld. And both times I walked away thinking, hey, he's kind of a douche.
I never met him. I was at a Comic Con that he was at. I think I saw him from a distance, but I was like, what am I gonna do if I walk up to him? Like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna, hey, are you Rob Liefeld? He's probably gonna like, yep, I bet you hate my artwork. I'm like, yep, and then
the first time I encountered him was at a convention, and it was when he first had come onto New Mutants, and I did not like the artist before him at all. I was only sticking it out because I loved the New Mutants so much. And so anybody seemed like an improvement at the time. And if you look through Liefeld's history, his art gets worse as he goes. Like, the farther back you go, it's not that bad.
That bad is generous. It was still bad.
Well, still, it got worse by comparison. But at the time, for me, it was a marked improvement over the previous guy. So he had just come on to New Mutants. I don't even think, no, they definitely not introduced Cable yet. Nobody cared who this dude was. He was down the middle of Artist Alley, nobody giving him a second look. I walk by, he's sitting there drawing, and I'm like, oh crap, he's the new Mutants guy. And I went and bought a copy of a comic that I already had, just so I could bring it back and get him to autograph it. And so I ask him for an autograph. I'm telling him, I think, oh, your style's cool. I didn't like the other guy. I think you're great. I'm so glad you're on this book now. He acted like I was ruining his day, that I was the most annoying thing that's ever happened in his life. He couldn't have cared less. Like, he just autographed it really quick and was just done. He was sitting there completely... I bet you decreased the value of the book
because he signed it.
Yeah, he was completely alone. Nobody could care less about this guy. And here's this kid singing him praises. He couldn't be bothered. Then the next year, they had introduced Cable. Now he's a big deal. Everyone's psyched about Cable. He's gone from being like in the corner of Artist Alley to the main Marvel table at WonderCon before Southern California stole it. And there's a huge line to get his autograph. The dude ahead of me in line has a stack of like at least 25 copies of the first appearance of Cable. And I'm like, oh, this sucks. This dude's got a huge stack of comics got autographed and I'm behind him. That dude gets up in line, puts down his huge stack of comics. Now, a couple years earlier at this convention, Sergio Aguirre, who did Gru, my brother got an autograph from Sergio. The guy behind my brother had a giant stack of comics, and Sergio kind of gave the dude static for wanting every single issue signed. So I'm thinking that's the way comic artists are. This dude puts down this giant stack in front of Liefeld. I'm waiting for Liefeld to give this dude a little grief. Or said, like, I'll autograph two, but that's it. And Liefeld goes, are these all first Cables? The guy's like, yeah. He goes, that's smart. You're smart to get these autographed.
Oh,
and autographs the whole stack. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's such a douche.
Oh. I want to imagine that, you know, I've heard that now, you know, a decade or more later, he's sobered slightly. But even with that in mind, I just don't know what I would... I don't have anything to talk about with him. I mean...
But he was a douche before he was famous, and he was a douche after he was famous.
Well, didn't he just recently quit DC over some bullshit too? Like, I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, for crying out.
Well, no, I mean, he's still, even though, like, I think it's probably harder for him to get work, he's still a douche.
31 minutes, Empire says bull hockey.
But he's that dude. But, you know, he's famous enough to where he's going to keep getting work.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe he's bounced from DC, but Marvel will pick him up in a second just because people know his name.
And Modern Liefeld,
I guarantee he'll be back somewhere. Or he'll just go back to Image and crank out and rip off a bunch Image of characters.
What does Image still do? McFarlane's like bankrupt.
They still do Spawn, don't they?
They got The Walking Dead. That's propping up.
Yeah, but I think that's partially still funded by Kirkman. I think he puts it out.
Well, they got don't they have Invincible as well?
Yeah, they have Invincible, but I mean, that's again Kirkman.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
never mind.
All the good books on Image, Kirkman.
So now we just need Kirkman with art by Liefeld. In fact, I think that happened at one point.
No. Kirkman's artist on Invincible. I love that art. That's the reason I started reading that book.
Oh, they should put Liefeld on Invincible. It'd be great.
I'll stab you. I will fly to California.
Yeah, fly over to California and stab me.
And I'll get Seth. And then I'll fly to Canada.
Why are you stabbing me? You're like, yeah, I get you Canadian. Yeah.
All you white people look the same to me.
Anyway, it's like,
there's so much wrong with that statement, I can't even explain it.
We love comic books, and I am going to buy The Covenant of Primus.
I think I will too, actually.
Yeah, and
I'm going to wait and see how much it is on Amazon.
And I
think it's amazing, I just don't know if I'm down for $99.
I think it's completely smart to just wait a bit. Like, this is just, it's a whole bunch of exactly what I wanted for the last couple months, so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. If this is coming out, given the way Aligned Continuity was explained and how its artwork and its material was explained, this probably means that this is like the bookend of a line continuity. So,
oh, I wanted to comment on the image that went along with the story on the front page. Mm-hmm. So this is Liege Maximo, the
manipulator.
Could you have been a little more subtle with
What's a Muling Quim? I don't.
Could you have been a little more subtle?
Who?
Making him look like the devil.
Huh?
I don't understand.
You mean the way that
he's not red?
Huh?
He's not red.
I know. Then by the being green, he
feet.
And he's green and gold, and he has two horns, so he looks exactly like Loki.
Cloven hooves for feet. Come on, man. That's cool, though. Yeah. At least, I mean, assuming that, you know, he's a more sinister character, it's I like that more than one member of the 13 could possibly be evil, so it's not just Megatronus.
Yeah. And this I think it's super cool.
No, the art's great, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
So you don't think anything else is going to come of this?
I don't think we're going to get another book out of this. I mean, this stuff might still exist as, like, in terms of material that we're going to get our hands right on. I never thought, like, basically I thought someday they're going to do a single big hardcover just collating their aligned continuity material in a way that we can digest. I never expected anything written to be in this book. That's only a bonus.
I mean, do you think they'll still be basing their work off of this?
I think there's a decent chance that at least, like, this stuff, like, especially with the stuff getting out in the public now, at least if they do, if High Moon does another game or anything, like, I wouldn't be surprised if at least allusions to this stuff is made, as allusions are made to it already in Prime. Like, I don't think anyone should read this with the mindset of this is hard canon that I'm gonna go put in the wiki now. Nor should you read this with the mindset of I'm sure they're gonna make toys of all these pictures. Like, none of this stuff is meant to be anything more than concept given form.
You're not gonna read it and, like, everything just all makes sense. All of a sudden the camera rotates around you in slow-mo and you're like, I was so blind. How didn't I see it?
I had a Twitter reply of someone saying, I'm so glad I've been waiting for a handbook explaining how Prime and the video games tie together. And I told the guy, look, that's exactly not what this is going to be. So don't set yourself up for disappointment. Like, at this point, it's got to just be accepted. Prime and the video games were never meant to be this direct continuity. Even with that Dinobots comic book, everything is as loose and goose as you can get. So, no, it's not going to be a roadmap. It's just going to be, here's a whole bunch of cool mythology. And like all mythology, you just take it for what it is, look for the lessons, don't commit adultery, etc., etc.
I feel like that's what pretty much every entry into the Transformers story tends to be.
Yeah,
its own thing that you just accept for what it is.
And don't commit adultery is in all the Transformers fiction in one way or another.
Yeah, I didn't think any of this material was going to be getting out in this form at all, so I just think it's cool that there's actually going to be a book.
I'm just astonished.
If nothing else,
I'm astonished anything written is in there. That has me so excited. Like, that they got someone to actually write stuff to go with all this imagery is.
Well, wasn't that what the novels they originally were doing was part of?
Yeah, that was another thing that was loosely basing itself off this stuff. And similarly to all this other stuff, that's why people trying to fit the novels into the video games into Prime were just finding all these, like, what the hell is going on? I personally heavily question the fact that TF Wiki over there has decided to just use aligned continuity to collate the video game and Prime versions of characters into the same page, because that's precisely not what this whole thing was about. But all that aside, I'm just glad this book is coming out. It's what I wanted.
Yay.
And I only just now realized I could scroll through more images and actually see a picture of what the box looks like. I never scrolled down on this news post.
That Unicron art is awesome.
Yes, I know. I've been clicking through all this. I'd seen some of this artwork just in the topic or whatever, but I'd never seen some of these other things. The Unicron, just the way that they, like, working the dark energon into the design.
Shoulders.
Yeah, and then the glow. But, like, not like, befouling the design into something crazy. Just like, hey, look, it's Unicron, and this is the dark energon on him. It's like, all right.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
So does it look like the box is plastic with hinges and not just, like, folding cardboard?
It looks like it's a solid material to me.
I would just hope just heavy durable. Cardboard. Well, heavy cardboard is eventually going to rip or turn funky on the edges.
I'll find out if it's durable. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be like...
Gonna do a video where you throw it around for 5 minutes.
I'm gonna just do a video where I just they're bumping it with my groin,
throwing tetrajets against it.
That's right. Gonna give it the tetrajet test. By the way, I film on a mechanical chain based by Kotobukiya. That ever since the tetrajet video, that question has come up a million zillion times. I think we've covered... I'll finish this off. I'll just say, here, I'll read you the list of the 13 primes for the listener out there. I'm gonna play into your laziness and feed you your information with a spoon. Get ready. Prima, Vector Prime, Megatronus, Onyx Prime, Amalgamus Prime, Alpha Trion, Quintus Prime, Liege Maximo, Micronus Prime, Alchemist Prime, Solus Prime, Nexus Prime, and 13.
Well, Alpha Trion... Why didn't they make him Alpha Trion Prime? How is he still Prime if it's not in his name?
You get out of this boardroom.
Alchemist Prime looks like Alfonso's suit of armor from Full Metal Alchemist.
Like just literally that with an Autobot symbol on the forehead?
Yes.
All right.
I want one of them to have an Autobot eye patch.
That is a design element I'm surprised we have not actually seen somewhere by now.
Yep.
50 Ooh. Customizers just went, and ran off to do it.
Take it and run.
Shapeways, go!
You're welcome, Internet.
Let's move on to some new picture picks, duders. I'm going to let the guest go first. Empire.
Oh, man.
Vaunted Transformers fan. What?
Woo! I actually really like this Takara Ratbat that's coming out.
Yeah, this is the pictures that Yuki-san posted up.
Yeah, the in-hand images, yep.
I love Yuki and his Twitter. It's the best.
The bestest everest?
Yeah. Oh, he gets new Transformers, and he's like, hey, Internet, look!
Isn't he just kind of biting off what the Reveltech guy does?
Kind of, yeah.
Yamaguchi?
He's pretty much like Yamaguchi Light, but with Transformers, so it's okay.
I really dig his fan mode that he put there.
I like how the designer did a fan mode. Or not designer, fan. But the member of the staff.
It works. It works really well, I think.
Yeah. I've had this pre-ordered for months, and I'm really happy that I kept the pre-order, because I think, like, even if I didn't give a crap about who this is supposed to be, the colors just look gorgeous.
Yes, the colors are awesome. I really like that it looks like it's almost... completely in the metallic purple too, not like certain pieces aren't done up in it.
It looks like everything I wanted paint wise from United Scourge that I didn't get.
Exactly. And it's a great mold, so
yeah.
I'm gonna have to find one, I think.
My only worry is mold degradation, but we'll see.
Has it been reused so many times? Yeah.
I mean it's still even if something like even if it's been barely been used, it seems like it's just a hit or miss thing. Like sometimes you just luck out and sometimes you don't. I saw an interesting hypothesis that because there's like, you know, the character art there on the card, and it's clearly like that's character art like the character art we've been getting on Generations. Does that more or less confirm the chance that might come out over here? And I think that there's totally a chance, but I have no idea. But it's a good hypothesis because I didn't realize the character art was like there.
I love that his helmet is like the IDW style. Was that IDW or Dreamwave? It was Dreamwave, wasn't
it? IDW ran with it as well. Senator Ratbat has become a thing, basically. It's probably in the aligned continuity thing that there was a senator called Ratbat.
I approve. I approve of this message.
Me too. But I will say, there are some people who hate the concept of Senator Ratbat.
Why?
I don't know.
They don't like nice things?
I don't know how it harms anything. Because, like, Ratbat, he's cool in the 80s comics. Otherwise, he was never a nothing. Like, he was just this dude.
So yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on it. Like, I never read any of the stuff with Senator Ratbat, but in my head, the name Senator Ratbat, it just seems weird. Because the only Ratbat, like, the only take on Ratbat that I have any familiarity with was the G1 cartoon Ratbat, where he didn't speak. Like, none of the animal cassettes spoke. So, just the idea of this bat that flopped around and spied, now, like, giving oratory on like a Senate floor and politicking, it doesn't match up in my mind.
That's you never read any of the books?
No.
Yeah, so Seth is Seth's kind of comic light.
Yeah, check him out. I just he's read Lost Stand of the Wreckers.
Yeah.
Well, it was
There was some Senator Rat, like Senator personality Rat Bat in R.I.D. War recently. Within. And War Within, you had the real Senator. But the thing I liked about the connection to the G1 cartoon is the idea that there once was this, like, you know, smooth, like, you know, dirty, underhanded Senator, and someone got so mad at him, they lobotomized him and had him just turn into a little brick that turns into a bat.
Minion.
Yeah. It's like the worst fate. They just... This once proud figure of the Senate now is a box that turns into a bat and goes, ah!
So what did he turn into? What did Senator Ratbat turn into?
In the books, I don't think he transformed, or
he looked a lot like this, I think,
yeah. In
the Dreamwave one.
He had, like, the Ratbat, he had this kind of helmet that looked kind of like a bat head. I also like the fact that there was a guy called Ratbat before he ever turned into a bat.
Or there was ever even a rat or a bat that anyone would have known what they were because they're on Cybertron.
That's the fun thing about modern IDW is the way that they kind of, at times, make fun of the fact that Transformers all have really weird names for people who possibly never went to Earth.
Yeah.
And they bring up the fact that, like, sometimes Transformers will just change their names on a whim.
Here you go, Seth.
Well, in Cybertronian, I mean, it's pronounced Ratbat, but it's a reference to... Da, 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 da.
Oh, just like the S means hope, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that line in that trailer, and I was like, oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, okay.
That happened.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, they cut. I mean, the next line in the movie, like, I saw the script. The person replies was, yeah, well, you add S to hope and you get shope.
What?
It's not a good script.
That line That better be in the movie.
We'll find out in, like, a week.
Eh. I might see that.
I want to see it. I don't like Superman, but I want to see, like, people are saying it's good.
I always want to see Superman movies because I like the idea of a movie about Superman. I'm just not actually excited about Superman himself most of the time.
Yeah, I want to see if they pull it off.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I think it's just really difficult to do a Superman movie.
And you know what? I like Kevin Spacey in the last one. He's the only part of it I really remember. That and Superman got shot in the eye in that one part, because that was in all the trailers.
And the only cool part was, like, in the first 15 minutes of the movie where he catches a plane, and then the pacing just slows down.
I like the part where he gets shivved. I don't know why, but...
Did you like the part where he becomes a deadbeat dad and stalks Lois Lane?
Kind of, yeah. I came out of Superman Returns thinking to myself, I can't wait to see the next one, because that was kind of fun. And then everyone hated it, and I was like, screw all of you. That was, you know what? You know what you are? You're wrong!
Yeah, I'm sad that internet meme went away.
You know what the best thing was? I was working at a movie theater when that was in theaters, and someone walked out and walked right up to the concession I was at and just started going off about how the movie was bad. They paused for breath. Someone opened the door to the theater to go to the washroom, and Kevin Spacey screamed, "Wrong!"
What are the odds?
And I was like, I just started dying laughing, and that customer was like, "Why are you laughing?" And they just walked away. That was funny. But yeah, Senator Ratbat, that's out this month.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna grab him.
Yeah, I got a Hobby Link Japan pre-order, and I got it in early, so hopefully I don't get, you know, end of line screwed over.
You don't get screwed over like I did using the personal warehouse? Yeah.
How'd you get screwed over with the personal warehouse?
They sold my stuff out from underneath me when I asked to ship it. They're like, oh, we sold that.
Well, you should have shipped it. Obviously.
Yeah, I didn't already pay for it or anything. Yeah. That's my
fault. Aren't you psychic?
No.
Oh, that's your problem. Your genes are weak, you non-psychic person.
Damn it. Yeah, so I stray from there. I warn you, don't use the personal warehouse.
I use it all the time, but I also... What did you order? What was sold out from under you? What?
Arms Micron, wow, I can't remember their names anymore.
Oh, it's so important.
No.
there's another one.
No.
The Stunticon.
You're worse than the Canadian.
48, the Stunticon. 50. Empire says the F word.
Breakdown and, the medic f***ing car. There you go. There's another curse.
All right. 49.
Or 9, remember before like the show had started and I was telling you about how I get into the mindset of not cursing when I talk? Yeah.
Dude, I've been very good. I've been very good, actually. No, I've been very good.
But we've had better.
I apologize. Yeah, no, but they sold Breakdown out from underneath me, and then I was unable to find it anywhere, so it's pretty fun.
I am actually, I'm not surprised that happened, because almost every Japanese retailer, like, out of actual Japan, barely got any Arms Micron toys whenever they ordered them, which I found really weird. Like, yeah, after the first wave, when the line actually got hot, they were getting less, and it was odd.
So, I don't know what that mold is like. It makes me sad, and I blame HLJ.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, yep. Oh, I'm just thinking of it. Oh,
are you licking it right now? So, I can't curse, but you can have that on the show.
I didn't curse.
You didn't curse. Exactly. It's true.
That's the only thing you're not allowed to do, is curse. That's all.
You just had a little bit of asthma.
Yeah. Why are you going to come at me because I have asthma now? Are you going to slap my little breathy thing out of my hand?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course.
I like the idea of somebody having asthma that doesn't even know what their inhaler is called.
That was almost the Predator laugh. That was good.
My breathy thing. Hey, Seth.
Hey,
what's Chris. What's your new picture pick?
Chris Vangelis. Chrysalis.
There's no way to... I've tried. There's no way to smooth my internet name and my real name together. I've been trying for
Chrysalis.
I put actual Chris thought Angelus. Into it for a little while. I was like, maybe I should just... Chris IPV Ho. I was like, nope, that sounds like I have a disease.
Yep.
I like Chrysalis.
What about Chris Angelus?
I liked the book Chrysalids when I read it in high school.
Anyway.
A lot of people didn't like it. I liked it.
So for the first time in months and months, if not over a year, the last episode, my picture pick was something official and not third party while I'm getting back on the third party train.
All aboard.
There is a picture. And there seems to be, at least at time of press, there is some uncertainty if this is an actual product coming out or like a garage kit. Nobody knows. It's breaking news. Developments are still developing. Stay tuned for more information. But somebody is making a cassette that turns into a swoop. And it looks super cool.
Where's a shot of the cassette mode?
I don't know.
Damn it.
Because, yeah, I do want to see how well this turns into a cassette. Because it looks painfully awesome as a pterodactyl.
It looks like when it's in its various...
I'm pronouncing the P to upset any paleontologist that might be listening.
Good man. Whenever this thing, all the poses it's in, the thing that's really getting me is how its wings are made of flat panels, but they look rounded when they're flapping up or down.
Yeah. No, it looks ridiculously cool. I mean, we've seen several third-party cassettes in recent days, most notably coming from Keith's Fantasy. But this just, it looks amazing. It's like on par with the better Masterpiece stuff.
Yeah.
At least from these pictures.
I approve. I agree.
Yeah, I definitely want to see how this story develops.
It actually turns into a robot and not a cassette. That's how it's going to develop.
Well, except for then somebody was a fibber.
No one tells lies.
That'd be awesome if it was a triple changer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Triple changer cassette.
Combiner.
Yeah.
Well, there's been combining cassettes, but...
I know, but a triple-changing combining cassette?
Here's the silhouette image of it.
Triple-changing, combining cassette.
Headmaster.
Headmaster, target master.
Silhouette. Third-party ring is closed.
Action master.
Wait a second. That's not possible.
Anything's possible in Keith's fantasy.
Oh! Yeah, I want to see the cassette mode. It looks like a great little swoop. Like, hey, a little swoop. That's fantastic. It'd be a little diminished if the cassette mode sucks, but at the same time, look at this swoop flapping its wings. If the cassette mode sucks, then darn.
How do you know it's little? Couldn't it be like 15 feet long? You don't have any reference.
It says right here, fits into Masterpiece Soundwave, and no one tells lies.
Wow. Mass shifting.
You're mass shifting.
Well, even if it is a junky cassette, and even if it didn't transform at all, and somebody was just like, hey, look at this awesome toy petrodactyl that I designed. It's an awesome robotic petrodactyl.
Petrodactyl, actually.
Petrodactyl. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not a paleontologist.
Yeah, well.
A paleozoologist.
Cryptozoologist?
Yeah, these dinosaurs are lies. Everybody knows that.
6,000 years old.
Jesus totally rode a T-Rex.
That's not true.
It happened.
That's not true.
Everybody knows Jesus drove a hybrid. Because he was environmentally conscious.
Discovered North America.
We are going to get in so much trouble in this episode.
No religious discussion in the topic, please.
We just speaking.
Please. Thank you. Please.
Look, if you're upset, we're just cracking wise. We don't mean no harm.
Thank you. You can come at me on Twitter. I invite it. Come at me on Twitter. I'll send you to John. It'll be good.
Yeah.
He's excited. I've actually forgot what we were talking about. I'm going to go look over
here. Petrodials.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I suspect it's just a garage kit because it kind of looks like it has that. It looks
too good.
It looks so good and it looks so resin. And those are like the hallmarks of a garage kit.
Yo, girl, you're looking resin.
You're looking real resin, man. Yeah. My new picture pick is incredibly obvious to apparently a whole bunch of people, so I'm just going to cover it. BotCon have announced their headliner guest. It is General Glenn Morshower, and I don't know how I feel about this because
he signed for 4, didn't he? He's the star of the show.
He was due to play in 4 until other commitments prevented his return. And I had a moment of personal crisis over that, but I got over it. Now, here's the problem. You know, in that episode of Community, when they had LeVar Burton on?
No, I don't watch Community.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, never mind. Basically, what I'm trying to say is everything I love about Glenn Morshower has nothing to do with me being in the same room as Glenn Morshower. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle being in the same room as Glenn Morshower. Because what if he doesn't understand the joke? Then what are we going to do? What's the point of living? What purpose did the live action movie serve? The fact that General Morshower is like he's the binding tie of the entire live action movie franchise. Like
it's not a joke.
Well, I mean, I'm putting quote-unquote joke. A lot of people call it a joke. They don't understand how serious it is.
He's the linchpin.
But what if he doesn't understand that? Like, what if, you know, when I pull him aside for my interview and I go, like, so what's it like being the, you know, the binding glue of the live action movie franchise in fiction, metafiction, and beyond? And he goes, like, what? And what am I going to do?
Then you teach him.
I can't.
He needs to.
You teach the Morshower? That's like to, hey, why don't you go teach Jesus kindness?
It's
like
one's duty. It's, someone had to do it, and it would be your obligation.
You can't teach the Morshower how to be Morshower. I mean, that's...
Then you've let down all of mankind.
But he's already supposed to know.
That's rather presumptuous of you.
But he's Glenn Morshower. I am incredibly excited for his Q&A panel. Because it could possibly be the funniest Q&A panel in a long time. I don't think he remembers anything about anything he did in a lot of these things. He doesn't have to. He's Glenn Morshower. It's not his responsibility to remember.
Cocaine. It's a hell of a drug.
I think you're going to go into the panel expecting the Morshower you've created in your head, and the reality is just going to crush you so badly.
All it's going to mean is I'm just going to have to, you know what? The Morshower in my head might be better than the real one, so maybe I'll just have to, you know, remove this one and replace him.
Full mind wipe?
Nope. Just a horrible Hollywood murder case. Real sad story. They write a book about it someday. I strip naked and just glue blackout toys to my body.
What happens when you go to BotCon?
I give him an axe and I just bellow at him, cut the hard line! Tell me to step out with my hands up or you'll kill me. Anyway, that's going to be my story. Also, BotCon announces guests kind of close to convention time sometimes. This convention is happening. This announcement came out on June 5th. The convention is going to start 3 weeks from then. So that's cutting it a bit close. But hey, you know, save the best for last. Glenn Morshower.
I would have actually gone had I known that in advance.
The Empire 3 on Twitter just tweeted, come at me, in all capitals.
That was a while ago. That was when you were talking about that.
4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's not a while ago.
Well, it wasn't just now.
Okay, you know what? Maybe you're right. But you know what?
What?
You know? Glenn Morshower thought he was right. Parables.
Are you implying that he was wrong?
I'm not implying anything.
How dare you?
I'm just the messenger. I think that the ultimate cap on my Morshower hard-on will probably be someone giving me a 6-scaled Glenn Morshower.
Let me see if I can make this happen. What else has he been in?
Transformers.
What's his name?
Glenn Morshower.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, let me lay this out. So he played Colonel Sharp in the first Transformers movie, who dies in the opening of the movie.
I know.
And then
I know.
He shows up again in the next two movies as a self-named character with absolutely no one ever noticing that he looks exactly like the other guy.
Twins, man, twins.
I just, you know what would be the perfect thing in this panel? If we just go back to BotCon 2009, the Peter Cullen Q&A panel, and bring it back here, someone's like, hey, would you like to read my General Morshower / Colonel Sharp / fiction? And I just put the image in everyone's head of Glenn Morshower making out with himself. Think about it.
I need to take a 5-minute break.
Yeah,
General right. Sharp Shower.
I'm also really sad that, like, The toy I really want, very selfish of me, I just want my Octopunch General Morshower, where Glenn Morshower is the pretender shell for Octopunch. And that's probably never going to happen. That also bums me out. Power Master General Morshower with his Transtector armor? Probably not going to happen. I leave it up to talented artists to make these dreams at least a visual reality.
But we have a Headmaster, too?
Of course! He's RC's headmaster. It's him and three motorcycles. They just combine with an unarmored Glenn Morshower head at the top of this enormous, like, monstrous robot body. So, that's our new pick section. We're also going to, now we're going to go on and talk about A Picture of a Toy. I wanted to give this its own little spot because this is pretty, I don't think it's mind blowing so much as surprising, but at San Diego Comic-Con 2013 in a couple weeks after BotCon, in my opinion, it looks like they're going to close the book on these G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers exclusives, because the front says the epic conclusion. So this is a probably enormous box with a Sky Striker done up as Jetfire right down to the fast packs. And it's really cool that they're throwing out an homage to Robotech in this. There's also a Vamp done up as Hound. There's a Pretender Bludgeon G.I. Joe. There's a Baroness who looks pretty cool just by herself, and she comes with a scaled Ravage on a chain leash from that one piece of art. There's a scaled Blaster in cassette player mode with three cassettes to go with the Soundwave from last year. And then there's just random Snake Eyes.
Comic accurate Snake Eyes.
Just showing up. Is it comic accurate? Is that why he is?
Someone told me that he had green pants in the comic, and that's why he's like that.
My understanding was the original Snake Eyes toy was meant to have green pants, but it was cheaper to just mold all his parts in black. So
shocked.
But the original design was he was going to have green pants.
Can I just lay out something? I already said this on Twitter, but I want to say it on the record here. I think what they should have done with that Snake Eyes is do him up as Snake Eyes wearing the Game of Death jumpsuit and call him Bumblebee Snake Eyes. Like Bumblebee Transtector Snake Eyes or something. And so you take the two mass appeal in everything characters and you squish them together. Bumblebee Snake Eyes.
Tiger Force Snake Eyes?
No. Game of Death jumpsuit, not Tiger Stripes. Just like one nice clean stripe down the side. So a lot of people are flipping out over parts of this set. I predict that Snake Eyes and Hound are going to be in buy-sell trade threads across the internet in the coming year, because this Hound is completely logical, but the problem with Hound is that Hound just kind of looks like a G.I. Joe vehicle. Yeah. So this just looks like a G.I. Joe vehicle.
Yeah, the Hound is the least impressive element of the set.
Yeah.
Just because it's just... Vamps are already green, at least... classically, so
it's even funnier, it's just the stickers.
Better. Yeah, it just has some different stickers. And
so, did they give a price yet? I heard something like $100, which I can't believe.
That can't be.
Well, the last few years at SDCC, Hasbro's had like the one gigantic box thing.
Yeah, but this is like bigger than anything they've done.
I know, but I'm saying this is clearly their one gigantic box thing.
Which makes me wonder about if there will be a Metroplex at SDCC. Like, it's now starting to look like, hey, maybe not. But there's still time for it to be revealed.
Maybe it'll be a New York one.
I'd love that, because New York is the one that's actually kind of fun to go to.
Yeah!
Like, regardless of my location, from all accounts, New York is like San Diego, except you're not tripping over, you know, gigantic lineups of people who are there to see the one panel for their favorite TV show.
Based on that guy.
Yeah, Twilight. Everyone's favorite superhero. This all looks neat, but I'm going to say, I read this on Twitter before I saw the pictures, and everyone said they did a G.I. Joe up as Bludgeon, and I got all excited, and it didn't live up to the expectations I'd built up in my head 5 minutes prior to seeing the figure.
Oh, really? I like the Bludgeon quite a bit.
In now that I'm looking at it again, I'm like, yeah, this is completely fine. It's just I'd built up in my head that they like done like some kind of perfect Frankensteining to like pull off like literally the somewhat robotic G1 Bludgeon armor and stuff. And I was like, gotcha. That's crazy. There must be more G.I. Joes out there than I know about. And so he is like samurai dude with a Bludgeon head. And then I was like, yeah, this is completely fine, but I just built it up way too much in my head.
I think the Ravage is kind of fantastic.
That is my favorite part of the set.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want a giant vehicle. So the Jetfire looks really cool. I just I don't have anywhere for it.
I know someone who will buy it off of you if you want just the Ravage.
Well, I didn't know that we have any Robotech fan friends, but that's... You know, Let me know later. Yeah, I got nothing against Robotech. I know there's fans of it out there, and, you know, that's fine. you know, everyone's got to love something. Harmony Gold is a great company. They brought us a lot of great things.
And they're doing better now. They're making a game about it. They got back the license from another company that was bootlegging their toys.
Yeah. Oh, man. And the friggin' Japanese, let me tell you. Ugh. I also want to say the blaster and cassettes are really well done. And the cassettes, I especially like because they got the engravings correct. Like, they got, right down to Steeljaw's, like, curved part that slides up to be a main. It's all in there. It looks really good.
And microscopic.
Yeah. So this is one of those sets that I don't think this is as good as the Shockwave Hiss Tank, but this is still pretty good. This is for me at least, is totally on par. It's just not like astoundingly better.
I'm shocked at the amount of stuff. It seems like it's more than any of the other ones.
It is. I'm pretty sure. Unless the parts count of the Shockwave set equals this somehow, and I'm just like, I it took me a while to understand why everyone was flipping out, because I keep forgetting how big a Sky Striker is.
Yeah, isn't it like a good 12 or 15 inches?
Yeah. And that's why I don't want one.
Yeah, that's why that Starscream never appeared. Like, I didn't want it because it's just too big.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's all about the figures. Like, the Bludgeon is awesome. Mm-hmm. The Baroness, that's one of the better Baronesses. Baroness Eye, however you want to say it, that I've seen yet. And the Ravage on a Chain is amazing. Now, does it look like it's articulated?
I don't think it is.
I hope so, but I don't think so.
It's kind of hard to tell from the picture. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. I'm probably going to have to pass on the whole package in the end, because it's just going to be too much of a hassle and too much to pay for only wanting shipping the smallest elements.
Yeah. And people who are splitting this up, I think that if you're hoping to get in on a split and you don't have a direct hookup, Bludgeon, the Baroness, Ravage, and Blaster are going to be the hardest things to get. Yeah. Jetfire coming in a close second behind them, only because he's so big. So if you really want a Vamp or Snake Eyes, then you're golden. There's going to be a billion of those kicking around.
Well, I only put up with how big the Hiss Tank Shockwave is because of the Shockwave element.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that thing is huge.
Well, that Hiss Tank, because I have the Rise of Cobra version of that, and I like that Hiss Tank because it's, like, I'm okay with a huge tank because it's big, but it's big in a square shape. The Sky Striker is just big and long with wings sticking out. It's, like, not as easy to kind of just stuff into a display and put things onto. Like a tank, you can just put guys on and have them stand on it, and it kind of works. You can't have like your G.I. Joes all standing on top of a jet, because when it takes off, they're gonna look real dumb.
That's why you're hanging on a roof, like from your ceiling.
That's a whole new level that I to this day have never entered, because I think once you start hanging toys off the ceiling with fishing line, like, that opens a door, and I don't know if I want to go through that door.
Well, and if you hang this from the ceiling, then you're really only ever going to be seeing it from below, and then you're not really going to be seeing the Jetfire parts that make it interesting.
But you can hang Beast Hunter Optimus Prime from the ceiling in a super heroic pose flying through your room.
As soon as I start hanging toys off the ceiling, the entire ceiling becomes potential display space, and I have a really awful reason to buy more toys.
Awfully awesome.
Oh, no, it's fine. I can hang it from the ceiling. I'll buy this.
Why is Bruce Lee hanging from the ceiling?
He did a jump kick once. Don't be so racist. It's fine.
And then Jacob just looks at the ceiling and realizes never getting that deposit back.
Nope. Because I will nail all of those fishing wires right into the ceiling, hammer and nails, and then just take out a glue gun and just blop that on top.
Aren't there people that live directly above you also?
Yep, with children. It'll be great.
And the points of the nails are going to be sticking out through their floor.
And those children run around a whole lot.
Well, I had to use these giant nails to secure my toys.
These 6-inch nails.
Do you know how heavy the DX Chogokin Mazinger is? He's like 12 inches tall. No, he flew once. You're the bastard.
You got to hang the hanger up there too.
That's right. If I can't have the hanger hanging off the ceiling in its full open position, why am I even alive?
I was going to use 6-inch nails, but then I thought, hey, that band 9-inch Nails is pretty cool, so I got the 9-inch ones.
Yeah, I had no idea. You guys hate music. That's great.
Trent Reznor has an Oscar.
He does?
Doesn't
he? I forgot. Yep. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Soundtrack.
I'm behind on my Trent Reznor. 9-inch Nails is coming back again.
Yeah, they're on tour now.
Yeah, like as a name, they're coming back again. The only bummer about that is there was this brief period where there was this really cool thing that 9-inch Nails resurrected to make exactly one song, which was the end credit music for Tetsuo the Bullet Man, which is still a really cool track. But now
are the new albums any good? Because the last one they made before they broke up, I thought was pretty terrible.
Well, they didn't really break up. It's always been Trent Reznor. Like the whole. Do you mean the Ghosts one?
No, not Ghosts. The one after that, or.
You mean the Year Zero remixed?
Yeah, I think it was no something. I want to say Waker or Awakening, something like that.
I know what you're talking about. I didn't dislike that album, but I didn't remember it very well.
It was. I thought it was. I mean, I only listened to it like once, and I was just like, no, no.
Like, this is okay. This is it to me. If I recall correctly, it felt a lot like an extension of that thing he did, where it was like four albums of just ambient tracks.
Well, I like Ghosts. That was a really good ambient music. But this was not like that. It was more like an extension of like With Teeth or whatever that album was, which was okay. But
I think also because I got introduced to 9-inch Nails through a friend of mine, who's also like. One of the reasons why I'm into media, and this friend of mine gave me this as I got into 9-inch Nails preemptively, just gave me this case of like, everyone's gonna tell you to hate With Teeth, here's a reason why it's an okay album and you don't have to feel bad if you like it.
I didn't mind With Teeth was okay, but it was whatever came right after it that I
oh man
it was just too far.
As soon as I thought, I was like, why are you so, what, you're overreacting. Then I went on Facebook, I was like, hey, I'm just getting into 9-inch Nails, just getting into With Teeth, and all these people on my Facebook were just like, oh,
you got Wild Tigered?
Oh. Oh, yeah, except that in this case I didn't totally agree with them, because they were like, With Teeth ruined the band, I couldn't listen to any of the music, and I was like, thank goodness I didn't get this whole built-up 9-inch Nails thing by getting into them when they were still putting out albums.
Did you like The Fragile? I really like that.
I like The Fragile. My favorites, like, I still have a real soft spot for Year Zero, because it's very representative of the kind of sound I enjoy.
I think it's The Slip, the one that I was thinking.
Yeah, that's right. Year Zero. It's The Slip. It's The Slip. Because if you didn't like Year Zero, then I gotta start talking to you a little bit. Because
Year Zero is the album cover that I remember, but I'd have to listen to it again to know.
Because if you didn't like Year Zero, but you categorically are able to sit there and listen to Combi Christ, I gotta know, like, because Year Zero is a very industrial noise sort of thing.
I listen to a lot of noise. I mean, I like Atari Teenage Riot, so...
Year Zero also had, like, a fantastic ARG. Like, a legitimately awesome ARG. I spent a lot of time reading up on that on the Year Zero fiction back in 07. That was fun.
I feel like I should apologize to the listeners for making a 9-inch Nails joke a minute ago.
But you get...
Yeah, usually I'm all by myself with me listening to any music that anyone else knows about or cares about. It's me by myself. But now me and John can be friends until I remember that he's from New York.
Oh, yeah, I think it's The Slip that I did.
Yeah, it was The Slip. I remember the name. That's one that, that's actually when I was just like at that point, because Reznor was doing the whole like pro digital thing. I just bought everything. I bought a digital, then I went and bought a physical just to go like, hey, guess what? Have some money. I like what you're doing. I didn't really listen to it very much. So, that's our new picks, and that's our SDCC G.I. Joe Transformers things. I didn't actually pull out a listener question to line up, but since Empire is here, and we have, like, I love subjecting guests to listener questions, because usually listener questions call out specific podcast members, and that means guests are always left out.
Yay.
So...
Is it going to be, like, Mary Blank Kill... Springer, Metroplex, and RC.
Now I want to go dig up one that's going to be.
And look, I didn't curse. You should be proud.
Because there's a couple here. They're very basic. I'm like, yeah, these are good podcast questions, but I got something that you're going to have trouble with. That's what I wanted.
Got to realize who I deal with every other week. It's going to be hard for me not to deal with something.
That's true. You have to deal with.
Bring it on.
You have to deal with Gerodimus.
Matt McGrath. Yeah, seriously, he's just an rowdy guy.
All right, this
guy's a maniac.
This is going to be a very simple twofer, but it comes from Ubert E. Norman, also known as Uber Tennerman. He says, first, as a Minnesota native who moved to Illinois shortly before Gog Dog, I would like to offer the standard Midwestern greeting to Southerners. How are you liking the cold? And yes, I'm aware you're probably answering this question in August. Nope, June! But I distinctly recall...
Nope, also not here to answer the question.
Yep. But I distinctly recall that Gog Dog did not enjoy the cold for his first winter over in Illinois. B. Anyway, I've got a couple quick questions for you, colon. One, parentheses. Is there a figure in your collection to which you have a certain sentimental attachment? Seth? Do you have a sentimental attachment to a figure in your collection? Doesn't have to be a Transformer.
Yes. But... it's kind of... It might be a little difficult to tell the story.
I murdered a man and took the toy
with
him.
It.
Well, no, as listeners may remember, I mean, we just a couple days ago passed the 1 year anniversary of my mom dying. Mm. And so when the movie WALL-E came out, I went with my mom to see it. And as soon as the credits started rolling, she leans over and asks, are there toys for this? And I said, yeah, actually, I saw some toys just a couple of days ago. And she said, is there a toy of, what was the little scrubber guy's name?
Oh,
I have no idea, but Mo. I know who you're talking about.
Mo.
Yeah. Mo. Because is there a Mo? I said, I think I saw a Mo. And then we left the movie theater, went straight to the toy store because she had to get a Mo. And so when we were clearing out her place, I collected that and brought it back. So yeah, that's probably my most sentimental toy.
Yeah, for good reason. I believe we even talked about that event when it happened. I remember the conversation.
I think we may have.
Yeah. Well, Empire, what about you? Do you have a sentimental attachment to a certain figure in your collection?
I do.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Wow. What?
I automatically assume it's... You can feel emotion? Oh, it just changes everything.
Oh, man, I don't want to say.
I can feel emotion like hurt.
So, when my sister was born, my parents brought her home, and they said she brought a gift for me, and they brought me a Power Master Prime. So when I got a younger sister, I also got that toy, and I have a lot of emotional connection between the two of those. So that would be the sentimental
figure in my collection. Do you have a favorite?
Favorite? Oh, between the two?
I like the
Power Master Prime.
The long pause.
You realize that that's just like a psychological trick that parents use on kids.
I totally do.
To not be mad at the new baby.
Yeah, I know, but it worked, and I don't know, I've just always thought of it fondly.
I never attacked my sister. Not once. I like the idea.
I'm such a jerk because I just like did my thing, and then I'm going to piss all over Empire. Yep. You know they were just conning you, course. Right? You realize that your whole thing, you got played, son.
I have a couple, like, I have sentimental attachments to a couple of figures, mostly family-based, like, you know, my Wreck-Gar and my Ratchet were two, and my Leader One, actually, were some of my very first toys ever from my mom, and they were what got me into Transformers, because when she was... with baby me, she thought Transformers were cool looking, because it's like, hey, it's robots, I'm gonna get one of these for my kid so I can see what it looks like, because I was way too young to have a Wreck-Gar at age like 2.
-4.
Oh man, yeah, that's right, you're the little guy.
No, I was born in 85.
Wee little one. That's right.
I thought Mikey
was like on the show same all of a age.
No, I'm pulling the 1 year rank on you. Best part is, it's like you were born like a month apart. Oh, little baby, little baby, baby.
Can't breathe. Stop.
So one I can really pick out, though, or I guess two, is that a lot of my mom's aunts and uncles, I hardly really knew, because I mostly knew them when I was too young to really appreciate that they were members of the family. And I want to say that either one of or both of my G1 Inferno and G1 Slugslinger I received because they were a gift from an aunt that had been misplaced and was found after she had died. Ooh. Which, when I was a kid, I still didn't really get it. So I was like, oh, it's a toy. That's kind of a sad story. But I always remember my Inferno, especially, was real beat up. And when I first started to go to BotCons, I was like, I should trade this Inferno for parts for better Inferno. And I ended up just getting a better Inferno, but I could never trade the old one. Because I was like, I feel really weird trading away a toy that a deceased relative had got for me that I didn't actually get a hold of till after the deceased part happened.
I did the same thing with the Power Master Prime. I mean, obviously no one just died, but I have a clean one and the original one still.
I was somehow misparsing that as, like, you buy a new Power Master Optimus Prime whenever you kill somebody, but I've been watching a lot of Dexter lately.
And I mentioned I've watched a lot of murder in the past 48 hours.
A lot of Breaking Bad, a lot of Dexter. I just think the worst of everybody.
Thanks, buddy.
What's your pattern? What are your trophies? What's your ritual?
Human skulls.
Excellent. Uber Tenor Man has one other question, labeled II dot. Is there any figure that you feel is the best Transformer you own? Thanks. So, that's a loaded question. Empire, what's the best Transformer you own? Best one. Just the best one.
That's
the best one. Don't worry, but just the best one. That's all I want to know.
The best one.
Yeah. The one that you would call best.
Action Master Devastator.
That's actually I like the concept of that toy. That's pretty. The idea that, like, six Constructicons just got royally screwed over when they fell into the Nucleon at the worst time. Well. Well.
Six of us combined to form one of the smallest Transformers around.
Oh, we're stuck. Okay. Yep. That's our lives. All right, so you say Action Master Devastator. Seth, what's your best Transformer?
Best? Yeah, I don't know, man.
You're going to hurt all the other ones' feelings as soon as you decide. So just remember.
As everybody knows, when you leave the room, all your toys come to life.
That's right.
I saw that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I don't know, that's a rough question. I mean, it's, like, that opinion changes, like, as new things come out, but, like, I think I still gotta stick with Masterpiece Laserbeak is just so incredible. I guess that makes it bestest, because I'm still blown away by that thing.
Yeah, I agree with you, like... I always tell, like, people are like, give me your top five Transformers. I'm like, well, what day of the week is it? What did I just get? I mean...
Oh, I can't stand being asked to do stuff like that. Like, yeah. On TFW, there's that annual staff best of thing.
I participated once.
Yeah, I sat it out this year because I'm like, man, I don't like doing this. I don't like ranking stuff.
And the problem with the staff one is we rank it, and then it becomes a discussion thread where all of our decisions on ranking just get torn apart by everyone else who's like, you are wrong! You're all wrong!
Your opinion is wrong.
The one time I participated, I think all I said was, the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts are good toys. So I copped out, and I made an entire price point my favorite Transformer of that year. Because, I mean, like, right now, if I was going to just go, like, what I think is the best example of a Transformer I have right now, it would probably be Generations Springer. And I would say that and then immediately say, but if you're open-minded, Blitzwing is actually kind of cooler. So, I mean, because they're not only just new toys, but they're pretty cool toys. And then I would probably sit there, and then I'd come back to you later that night, knock on your window, and go like, hey, let me in. And then you let me in, and then I'd be like, actually, right now, I kind of like Cyberverse Abominus. And then I'd be like, why'd you let me in your house? Because I am the one who knocks. So I hope that answers your questions, Uber Tenor Man. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk about things we bought lately. So get ready for that. And no religious discussion in the thread. That means you.
I'm going to post in it.
No.
And just about in religion. Case something happens later, no politics either. Let's just cover all the bases now.
Pull the blinds down in every window. We're just going to lock all the locks just right now.
Just don't type in the thread at all.
Yeah, because you're allowed. You can post a tweet's worth of characters, and it's got to be about food. When I said lock the windows and pull the blinds down, I actually started miming that with my left hand, and I didn't actually realize I was doing that until halfway through locks.
So you had like an aneurysm and you didn't realize?
Yeah, pretty much. I just had my version of a stroke.
Yeah, so someone here's had a stroke. I don't know if it's me or you.
We'll be right back.
We gotta clear the snakes out of the cockpit.
Yeah, clear the snakes out of the cockpit, yeah.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some freaking windows.
Shaq now owns the trademark and all rights to the idea of doing a Shaq Fu 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Now, the question is he going to do it, or did he preemptively and incredibly late decide to make sure no one can ever make a Shaq Fu 2? That's right.
Why would you want to stop anybody from making more Shaq Fu?
Maybe you're Shaq and you had a really bad day and you decided to be a horrible person.
My guess is he bought it and he's self-publishing the next Sega console Shaq Fu 2 game.
Maybe he's going to fund it on Kickstarter.
Yeah. I think Sega's coming to come back.
You don't need Kickstarter. Dennis Dyack has this whole thing, from what I understand, where you can crowdsource by yourself.
There's a joke in there. I'm not going to make it, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to crowdsource myself right now. Don't worry, I'm not swearing. We're going to talk about what we got this week. And we're going to talk about Transformers we might have gotten this week. So, hey, Seth. Did y'all get y'all some Transformers y'all this week?
Unfortunately, no.
Aw.
We're going, this is a pretty slow time. Like, I'm keeping an eye out for the triple changers.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard enough good stuff about them that I'm interested. Haven't come across them yet. But, you know, Kmart.
Yay!
But the Target's getting really close to opening. Two stores are open in that shopping center now. Last weekend, Sprouts open. This weekend, Dick's Sporting Goods is open.
Whoa.
It's just getting closer and closer to Target being open, and hopefully it's not a rotten Target like the Rona Park Target, and it's a good Target like the Santa Rosa Target.
I got Kryn to take me to a Big K a couple weeks ago because I really wanted to see what a Kmart looks like right now,
mm-hmm.
And that was weird. Kmart doesn't look very good.
Man, I went into the Kmart 2 days ago. They have G.I. Joe Retaliation toys. And by G.I. Joe Retaliation toys, I mean they had like 50 Flint on motorcycles.
And best toy on the line.
It would have been great if it was the stuff from the previous year. Like when they initially launched the Retaliation toys. Only Wave 1.
Just a whole lot of Roadblock with the chunk on his hand.
Yeah. I'm shocked Kmart still even exists. There are none in my area.
Oh, there aren't very many left, but...
Yeah.
And if things go the way I think they're going to go when this Target opens in Petaluma, there's going to be one less before long.
They're done. Like, I think that Kmart actually stopped a while ago, and a lot of them just don't know it yet. Long lingering specter.
I just don't know how they're going to compete. I mean, the only thing this Kmart's going to have that Target isn't going to have in more abundance is Kenmore appliances and Craftsman tools. That's it. Because they're owned by the same holding company that bought Sears out a few years ago. So, no. I didn't get anything. I have a whole mob of pre-orders at Big Bad.
You mean you got a whole lot of stuff incoming?
Oh. You know, but, like, there was stuff that was scheduled for April that slipped into May that still haven't come in. And there's some on-topic stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually, I'll be back on topic. Just right now, I'm not finding stuff in person, and pre-orders aren't happening.
I got a quickie on topic relating to you here. I found Uh-oh. I dug up my BotCon 2011 footage and put it all up in two more videos.
I saw that.
And among those are you and me, Seth, right after we got wristbanded.
Oh wow!
And there's a great part of you just walking up, and that was when we were in the core of our rage. And you just came up and you were just going total. I think you were savaging. I can't remember quite clearly.
Man, I'll have to look for that footage.
That's at the end of part two.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, the end of part two. Part two is us in the line, and then us getting separated in the line, and then me at the very front of the line right before they closed it. And I got a great comment. Someone saying that was reminding them of all the worst parts and the best parts of BotCon. Because it was basically the vlog of being in a line just in time to lose out and have to go to a line the next morning.
Yeah, when that happened, my first thought was, this can't be happening. My second thought was, I'm really upset that this is happening. And then these are all these thoughts are happening rapidly. It's not like time's passing. And my third thought was, where's Vangelis?
I was just astounded because I was like, you kept me here until 11:30, and you're telling me I have to be here at 8 in the morning. You're telling me to go to bed. You are basically telling me to go to bed. You are... Who are you to... And then Yeah.
Well, at least for me, it didn't pan out this way. Like, I ended up, like, I think the fourth person in line in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you add up the time spent in line... It ended up actually saving me in line time. I didn't like having to get up that early to be the fourth person in line, though. Because, you know, BotCon nights are long, late nights.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happened.
It ended up being...
But at the moment, one of my big concerns was, I'm looking at all the people behind me in line and realizing... Conceivably, all these people could end up in front of me in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been in line for so long at that point, I didn't like the idea of anybody getting ahead of me in line.
I remember when I got there that morning, I got there a bit late, and I still just cruised right through, and it was actually a nicer experience because the buying room had maybe 8 people in it, so it was quiet, and everyone was calm and tired, and we were all... had camaraderie with our stupid tribal print wristbands, and it was actually very pleasant. It was a really good Sunday morning, and I spent a lot of the night before thinking it was going to be the worst morning.
Yeah, there was a lot of shared experience when I was in that early morning line before they opened the doors, of just the people immediately around. We were all telling our version of the story, and everybody was getting a chance to get it off their chests and, like, have a, you know, somebody that understood to listen to.
And then here's, I just had a thought. So we're saying all this, right? Now just imagine Pete Sinclair listens to this part of the podcast and goes like, well, we should replicate that experience if it was so good for everyone. Trying to replicate that camaraderie. That would be fun to watch.
I won't be there.
Well, I'll tell you all about it.
But that was also the Hella Taco night. Did you get any Hella Taco footage?
I think I got at least one clip of someone saying Hella Taco, but I don't remember what.
I remember Razor Claw was so happy after Debesh and I said Hella about 6 times in 3 sentences.
Razor Claw or Razor Wire?
Razor Wire. What did I say?
Actually, he said Razor Claw, so that's his name now.
I meant Razor Wire.
No, it's Razor Claw. That's...
Because he was a California guy, and he had just moved out to, like, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his, I think it was his first time back in California since then. And I guess they don't say Hella in Virginia.
Not on the East Coast, really, at all. No.
When Debesh and I were formulating the plan, because he was like, hey, we wanted to get food. Oh, where are you going? Del Taco. They have a deal on Thursday nights. It was like 2 tacos for $1 or 3 tacos for $1, something like that. I think it was 3.
I love Del Taco.
And I said, there's way more people here than are going to fit in your car. Here's $20. Bring back Hella Tacos. And Razor Wire standing in between us. And he's like, this is going to be Hella Tacos for $20. And I said, I know. Bring back Hella Tacos for all my peoples. And he's like, I will come back with Hella Tacos. And then Razor Wire goes, I'm so happy right now. And like, we're like, what? He goes, nobody says Hella in Virginia. It's like, I finally feel like I'm really back in California. And we're like, that's hella good, man.
I have a weird tangent to that. Because I talk to you and because I listen to the Bombcast, Hella has kind of entered my vocabulary at some point in the last couple years. But I'm currently on the East Coast, but in the East Coast-ish area, going to, you know, eastern states and provinces and cities and whatnot where no one else says it, and people give me the funniest, weirdest looks. Because they're like, who are you? I'm like, I don't know. I'm hella me. Ha, ha, ha.
Just say you're hella wicked.
That's right. Awesome. Hella wicked. Go get me some pop.
And that's how these things spread and become international.
That's right. I'm trying to carry the hella. And I mean, it's just going to result in me being shot in Texas one day. But
dude, you're going to be hella shot.
You're going to be hella shot in Texas when I ask for some pop. Well, I didn't. Aside from finding this vlog footage and participating briefly in the newest, stupidest version of Transformers Legends on the iOS. I didn't get any Transformers this week. There are no more Transformers for me to get right now. I got them all.
All the Transformers are yours?
I got them all. Yeah, I got all of them. I won the game. I won collecting.
Yeah.
I won Transformers.
Yeah.
Hey. So, Empire, you're our resident Transformers expert here on the podcast. Did you get any Transformers, just this week, but lately? What's the last one you got?
The last new one I got was Ripclaw.
All right. Tell me about Ripclaw.
Sure is a fancy lady.
Yep.
I liked her. I don't see much, like, of the new stuff. Out in the wild, at least. So, if I was ever hunting, I'd never find it. But, I like that design. I liked Ripclaw. It was fun. The tail was cool. The little grabby claw. And I love the head sculpts. And, like, neck cowl. That's really what made me want to get it. Mm-hmm. Reminded me of Annihilus.
Ah, yes, I can see that.
So, that's what sold me on that figure. I want to get the triple changers, but they are nowhere to be found by me yet.
It feels like they're entering that stage, from what I'm seeing, you know, when I glance at Twitter at the right time, where it's like, you go to everywhere that could have them. Either nowhere, anywhere near you has them, or you walked into the Toys R Us that has, like, 10 of each.
Well, I know, like, at work, we haven't even gotten a shipment of them yet from Hasbro, so.
Ah.
But, Springer looks cool, so.
He's a pretty cool toy. Like, having owned them, like, they're, it was a really weird thing for me. Is like, owning them has been this weird, like, experience of constantly coming up with new discussion points on them in my head. And I think I finally reached a conclusion that, like, Springer is probably the better toy of the two, but I think Blitzwing is cooler because he takes more risks.
I like the way they both look. I want them both. It's just what scares me is the tolerances I hear about all the panels and everything.
On Springer, I discovered, because I thought mine was all janked up and wouldn't work right, and then it just started working as I played with it more. So Springer, I think there's a there's a lot of people, I suspect, and given the way people have replied to fixes that are posted, like of just like, hold these two panels while you push this in, and people have gone like, it fixed it! That, like, there's a learning curve on Springer that can potentially fix all that with him.
I like to think you just willed it better, as opposed to having a learning curve, sheer force of will.
I went from a whole evening of just a gappy car mode, sitting there going like, well, I guess I got a bad one. The next day, I turned him into car mode, and it is gapless, and I stared at it, and I actually was like, I was like, I don't want it. So I went on Twitter, I was like, I'm just going to tweet right now that I have a gapless Springer car mode. Future Evangelist, just this is proof for you for when you never do this again. But yeah, Springer just needed some working. Blitzwing, too. I mean, Blitzwing, I fixed his shoulders just by, I cut up some blister bubble stuff and just put two layers of it to thicken the stuff that's supposed to hold his shoulders down. Mm-hmm. Gogdog recently got him and used the sanding method and it worked fine. So there are two completely valid fixes for Blitzwing. I looked at mine and there was warped plastic, so I just decided, well, if the plastic's warped, I probably just need to glue stuff. But I didn't try the sanding trick. I might just someday try it.
And then, if I ever manage to see them, I will bug you then, probably.
That's right. And I'll be all like, all right, well, Mr. Wild Tiger, come walking up to me for advice. And then I just, first thing you want to do is heat up the soldering iron, just put it right through the middle of the toy. Now, I know that doesn't make any sense. It'll fix it. Don't worry.
What's going on? Oh, my God.
And make sure you have the toy in your palm while you're doing this. It'll be all worth it.
Now I have a spot for a repulsor.
That's right. See, now you can be Iron Man.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's our on-topic section of what we got this week. Honestly, did not think that Empire, of all people, would bring the sole Transformers content to this part of the show.
Yeah, Ripclaw.
Oh, dear. I don't even have any. All the stuff I have on the way is Fig Arts. Like, I thought I'd have my Fig Arts Iron Men by now, but I don't.
You don't have, well, I guess they're not on the way quite yet, but the Fans Project Stunticons, I have those on order waiting.
I have two, and I have the other two on order, but they're,
yeah. They're supposed to be this month, aren't they?
Well, Function X was supposed to be last month, and it's all been pumped to this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fans Project. What I heard on the grapevine that, that is now the grapevine that the third-party forum has started to become, is that the factory Fans Project uses is working literally in overtime, no breaks, just trying to catch up with all the stuff Fans Project finished, because the same, I believe that factory is also the one that Make Toys uses. So all of these Fans Project and Make Toys designs that all suddenly were going to come out in the same 3 months, caused a bit of a backlog at the factory. And,
well, boo, I want my Function X and Stunticons.
They'll come out. That's the thing about Fans Project. They don't talk to anybody, but they also just will manifest toys out of nowhere.
They literally talk to nobody. You know how many times I've tried to reach out to them? It's really annoying.
Yeah, and I know a guy there, and I've tried to just catch up with them, and they still don't get replies. Like, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah.
But, we're gonna get off topic then, I guess. And guess what? I got nothing. What can I stretch? I got the very first pass of audio post-production on my short film Balance today. Woo. And there's a very good chance we are going to finish that mother on Tuesday night. Like, just done. Finish. Movie made. Complete.
But what about the reshoots and like the rescripting and
already done.
The change of the main actor?
Already done. Everything's all audio post-production. I followed a proper process where audio post-production is my final stage of post-production outside of like making screener copies. So this month I am going to start shopping this thing to festivals, and that's a nice almost weight off my shoulders, because now that I've finished all that, the next stage on my end is to start making t-shirts and posters and magazines and art books and prints and things. So
when should I start haranguing you on when I'm gonna get my DVD.
Yeah. DVD, come at me in December, because one of the festivals I'm shooting for is in October, and festivals get mad if there are DVDs available.
You should just try to marathon around with the Nintendo Nerds movie too. Just make like a double feature.
Did he actually make it?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I never found out what happened to that whole thing. I was like, I guess he's...
Yeah, he filmed it. It's in the process of trying to get released.
That guy legitimately loves filmmaking.
Yes. Yes.
That's...
I like him. I like the video game nerd.
Yeah. I like the guy more than I like any of the videos he makes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't watch his stuff very much anymore. On a whim, I was like, oh, he did a thing about Dream Phone. I guess I'll watch that. Little did I know, I was about to watch this out of nowhere kind of amazing horror thriller based on Dream Phone.
He's a huge horror fan. Like, I think that's his main film passion.
It's like, it's a silly video, but it's like this 60-minute thing with a full story arc that ends kind of like the original Night of the Living Dead. And I was like, what the? Like, where did this come from? It was kind of cool. Seth, did you get anything else this week?
I got a lot of Nerf guns or blasters. I have to get into the habit of calling them blasters, because apparently that is the preferred nomenclature.
No, they're Nerf guns, and, you know, you collect Nerf guns and Lego blocks.
Legos blocks.
That's right.
Yeah, so every now and then I would come across pictures of a painted Nerf gun, and I would go, oh, that's cool. Like, because there's a lot of cool designs. Now, being toy blasters, they have to be, like, crazy outlandish colors. They can't be realistic. Otherwise, little Timmy and Johnny are going to be playing with their Nerf guns in the streets, and a cop's going to shoot them.
Blown away by the man, a la RoboCop.
That's been the story for as long as I could remember. I remember there being a lot of stress when my brother and I got laser tag guns about where we were allowed to play with laser tag guns, because they were black. The old school, awesome, sleek laser tag guns.
Like with the cool, like, hard plastic vests and stuff?
The vests weren't hard plastic. They were soft, but the sensor was hard. They had a plastic helmet.
Because everyone thinks you're running around with real guns and you're wearing, like, a virtual reality helmet and, like, a big light up thing on your chest.
That's the perfect cover to walk around with a real gun.
There was one time, like, so a whole bunch of us had laser tag gear, and it was summer, so we didn't have to go to school the next day. We'd go out late at night, run around, shoot each other with laser tag guns. It was awesome, because you want to play at night. One dude had found where they were building some houses up on this hill. So we go hiking up this hill to this housing development, and we're playing amongst the partially constructed houses. Like, it's just frames at this point. Like, there's no walls or anything. Like, staircases that went nowhere, stuff like that. And it was awesome. And then the cop showed up. Because there were some houses with people living in them not too far away, and they thought people were stealing lumber. But we were playing laser tag. So the cops roll up on us. What are you guys doing here? We're playing laser tag. And I had the rifle that they put out. Like, everybody else had just the pistol. I had the laser tag rifle, which was freaking awesome. And we're all standing there thinking we're in trouble. And one of the police officers goes, "Well, was that the rifle?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Let me check that out." And I hand it to him. And, like, he's messing with it. He's like, This thing's rad. And he gives it back. And they're just like, "You guys just need to get out of here. You're not in trouble. Just go home." Like, oh, these were cool cops. Anyway, back on topic. So I would see Nerf guns painted every now and then. Dashiana was just out visiting, and she's really into cosplay. And one of the things she did while he out here in California was go to a comic or a anime convention in San Jose, where she did some cosplay. She dressed up as Samara from Mass Effect.
Which is a badass costume, I want to just throw out there.
Yeah. Man, there's a whole story behind that costume. It sounds like she got taken for a ride by the person that she hired to do the sewing.
Ah. But,
she had to spend like 2 days of her vacation sitting in a room rebuilding the costume. Because it was just jacked up. But anyway, that's her story to tell, not mine. But anyway, so I had cosplay on my mind because here was somebody that I'm friends with doing it, and I'm looking at pictures, and I was kind of helping her find people posting pictures because a lot of people took her picture there. So I was keeping an eye out for pictures. So I'm looking at all these pictures of cosplay, and then I come across these pictures of a Nerf gun painted to look like something out of Mass Effect. And it looked amazing. It looked like something out of Mass Effect. It doesn't look exactly like a gun from Mass Effect, but it shares enough design similarities that you could believe that it's maybe a gun that's out of production in Mass Effect, or a gun that just you don't see in the game, but it's somewhere else. It looked good enough. So that really got me kind of going. So I go down to the Kmart, and I'm looking at the Nerf guns there, and they have a 2-pack of Scout Blasters. So I went, oh, you know, it's cheap. It's 2-pack of Scout Blasters. They're kind of small. They're simple. And if I screw it up, I got another one to try. So I painted one of those. I showed you guys the picture earlier. And I learned a lot while painting it. I think it came out okay, but I learned the necessity of sanding more than I did. Like, I kind of half-assed sanding it. You've got to sand these things better. Then I just completely fell down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at guns. I'm going, oh, this one's cool, and this one's cool. And, like, this one comes in parts. And, like, these parts would look cool on this one, so I'm going to buy that one so I could get these parts. And then I'm trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do with the rest of this one? Well, there's parts from this one that would look cool here. And maybe if I took the leftover parts from these two, like, that might be a cool idea. And I bought a lot of Nerf guns. So one of the ones I got, just because I think it looks really cool, is the Raven. And I tweeted a picture. Now, this isn't the Raven stock, but this is with parts from other stuff I stuck to it to kind of get it closer to what I'm eventually want it to look like when I paint it.
Oh, that's so cool.
To go with the Raven, I bought a Spectre, which is So this is a Spectre. It's a 3-part blaster. So the main body is a 5-dart revolver with an attachable barrel extension and attachable stock. The stock is kind of crap. It feels really flimsy. But the barrel looks cool. And the barrel looks really cool on the Raven. And I've seen I've come across a bunch of pictures of Ravens with this barrel on it painted, and it just looks rad. And the fact that it's removable, I guess there's an issue at conventions when you do cosplay, that you should still have like the safety orange barrel on guns for your cosplays.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, just in case I were to ever do a cosplay, like, I think I would want to try to do a Destro. So I would want to have guns. So, yeah. Like, if I have this Raven, I can paint it, but leave the Raven's regular barrel orange, but have this barrel attachment not oranged. So I can, when I need it to be orange, I get to have an orange barrel. I could just take off this extra part and have the orange option there too. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I'm thinking of.
This gun reminds me of like a Borderlands weapon. one you just
heard. Yeah, like, you can find, like, looking at these different Nerf guns, like, I'm finding elements that really go with different things. Like, the often mentioned Noise Maze.
Who?
He was looking at one Nerf gun that kind of has some similarities with Dead Space. And he goes, this kind of looks like you can make, like, a plasma welder or whatever the weapon was out of this. I'm like, yeah, I could kind of see that. So then I also got a Retaliator, which is this. And this is another thing that's three parts. So the blaster in the middle.
Oh, it has a clip. I love the Nerf clips.
Yeah. Well, that the Raven has a clip, too.
Oh.
Just in that picture, it's what I'm holding on to.
Oh, okay. I see that.
Yeah, it's a bullpup design, so the clip's in the back. So I've gotten this Retaliator, and I started thinking, like, well, what can I do with this barrel? And, like, what can I do with that revolver from the Phantom? And then I started thinking, like, what if I did, like, a really exaggerated pistol? So that's just with the parts together. So eventually I think I'm going to paint this so the parts match and just have this stupid over long revolver. It's really uncomfortable to hold that way because it's so... The weight is so, like, out. There's no center of gravity. That's what I'm trying to get at.
That's something where you keep that stored, so just the handle is showing, and you slowly pull it out.
Yeah, all on the Joker.
Yeah, just keep pulling, and you just keep pulling.
Yeah, and I think what I might want to try to do is, like, fill in some of the gaps and, like, smooth it out so it's not as science fiction-y and, like... I don't want to make it steampunk looking, but maybe a little closer to, like, old Western and, like, look up some old Western revolvers just to get an idea of a color scheme. And just have, like, this dumb giant revolver.
You should learn how to paint patina.
Who's patina?
Metal patina.
Why would I be painting this poor woman?
I hate you both.
I know. This is all reminding me of my weird, like, two-week love affair with Nerf, which began when I saw the Maverick and ended after I had my Maverick and was staring at an eBay auction for a custom-painted Vulcan. And I was sitting there going, like, yeah, $300 isn't much. And then I was like, what am I doing?
What did I just say?
And I had to walk away from it. I also just want to throw out there that if Noise Maze knows so much about Nerf guns, why am I always destroying his crystals?
Yeah, exactly. I have three pending turns on that game. I gotta get back to it.
I have like eight.
Yeah, but going back to the Raven. So in that picture, the sight that's on it, that's actually an airsoft sight. I found it on Amazon. It was only like $10. It had a lot of poor reviews. But I realized I'm not getting this to be a functional sight. I'm just getting it for the aesthetic.
Not yet.
So it works fine. It's fine. Then you might notice that orange rectangle on the side is a side tactical rail. So it might be sweet to find like a red light or a red laser dot or a flashlight that I could stick on the side too.
Yeah.
Grenade launcher.
Yeah.
A whole other gun.
Shotgun.
So, you may also notice in that picture, below the trigger is a button.
Mm-hmm.
That button turns on the flywheels. So, this is a motorized gun. So, you hold down that button, wheels are spinning inside, you pull the trigger, that pushes a dart into the wheels fling the dart forward.
Oh!
It fires semi-auto.
That's like the Transformers Nerf guns from 2011.
Right. Now, on the clip, I don't know if you could tell from the picture, but the magazine also has a battery pack. Why would the ammo clip need a battery pack? Well, that's because there's four LEDs in the top of the magazine. So when you turn it on, and now I didn't research out fully if they were just blue LEDs or if they were UV LEDs. The one video review I watched, the guy wasn't sure, and I didn't find out for sure myself. So those LEDs are there to charge up the darts, which are glow in the dark.
Jeez.
And so I stood at one end of the long hallway in my house with all the lights off and shot glow in the dark darts down the hall, and it was rad.
It took me a second to realize exactly what you were describing, and that's some real smart engineering. Like, pre-glow the darts before they shoot.
Pre-glow.
Yeah. I'll pre-glow you.
So, in the review I was watching, the guy was saying, like, if they were UV LEDs, then they would be charging up all the darts in the clip. If they were just regular LEDs, they're only really lighting up the top couple. But I shot through that clip as fast as I could, and the last one was just as bright coming out as the first one.
You're making me really want this Nerf gun.
It's not that expensive.
Oh god, this is gonna start all over again.
Only 400 American.
Dang. I have a picture of the lights lit up in the clip. Oh, and when you're in the dark, so there's a jam door that's directly above where the darts feed up. So when you have the light on through the little vent holes in the jam door, it's glowing blue at the top of the gun.
Ooh, I like blue LEDs.
Yeah, so it's pretty sweet. So, like, where these other Nerf guns that I'm getting ready to paint, because I have ideas for what I hope to be cool paint jobs, like the Raven, I'm doing because I think it looks awesome. And so, like, this is the one I'm doing, like, specifically for me. And the other ones I'm doing because I think I could do something that other people might appreciate, or that I hope they appreciate and think is cool. Then I also got one of the modern laser tag guns, which is also part of Nerf now. Apparently now laser tag and Super Soaker are part of Nerf.
When I found out, I remember the first time I found out that Super Soaker and Nerf were the same brand, I was like, if I was a lot younger than I am right now and I found out about this, my mind would be blown. Because there was once upon a time a very young me who thought Super Soakers and Nerfs were the best thing in the world.
Oh, I remember when Super Soaker first happened.
Yeah, Super Soaker 50 is the one everyone had.
Yeah, and like there was the 100 and the 200, and oh, they were rad.
Remember a yellow and green one.
That's the 50.
Yeah.
Everyone had the 50.
So this, let's see. I don't have a picture easy.
And I remember that I had an argument with a friend who proved to me that the 50 was actually superior to all the bigger ones. Because it was the perfect combination of ammo size, range, pressure, and all those factors put together.
I remember having one that had a backpack as well, and it always leaked.
That was the big, big one. That was like the 1,000. I thought the idea of that was so cool, and then I heard consumer reports from fellow classmates in the schoolyard that it was not really worth your time.
Okay, so this laser tag gun, there's a link to it.
Ah, that looks cool!
Yeah, so I found this at Kmart on clearance for $10.
Oh, man.
And it looks more Mass Effect-y than anything I've come across.
I was going to say, it has all those kind of, like, hexagonal curves.
Yeah, and it has, like, two barrels, which in the functional blaster are, like, the sensors and where the laser happens and all that stuff. Now, there's, like, a big rectangular piece that's stuck on it. That part is removable. And there's a better fitting, smoother piece that can go there instead. That big giant rectangular piece that's on it holds an iPhone.
Oh, I've seen this for a game, yeah.
Yeah, so it has like a augmented reality thing to it.
Like, oh god, I like augmented reality.
Yeah, I love augmented reality. So my my plan with all these guns that I'm painting is to keep them functional. Like, I just don't want to paint them and then break their usability. I want them to work. That was my plan with this laser tag gun until I opened it up to take it apart. And there was so much wiring and so many little switches and triggers and connectors. I opened it up, I looked at it and went, I'm not ever going to put this back together right. And I just ripped everything out. I'm like, I don't have anybody to play laser tag with anyway.
That poor little Chinese factory worker that had to put that together that you just ripped apart.
Yep.
That's one of those moments where you're just like, well, that's why I don't assemble toys in factories.
Well, and if I did, it would be my job and I'd be good at it. But I just couldn't be bothered with this. So this is the next thing I'm going to paint. I mean, I have it disassembled. I have to sand it. I can't find my Dremel. There's tons of logos and words that I want to sand off and like get it all smooth. But yeah, that's the next thing I'm going to be painting.
I like this arts and crafts.
Well, I used to paint Warhammer and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been having an itch lately to do something creative-y, and I'm grabbed onto this. So we'll see how long it lasts. Hopefully it lasts long enough to where I paint all this crap I've bought.
Yeah.
And hey, if I could end up selling some of it afterwards, all the better. But yeah, Nerf guns are fun.
Yeah. I love my my two like whistle darted Comic-Con Bumblebee and Optimus guns. You dual wield those, just turn them on. Those flywheels sound terrifying, especially when you have two of them. You start letting them fly.
But Raven, as I've gathered from video reviews, is a lot quieter than those barricade guns blasters. And that was that model that they did the Prime and the Bumblebee and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I first started like watching reviews and stuff, I was looking for painting tips. Like I was like, okay, like what are some of the techniques that these people are using? What techniques that I used in painting miniatures can carry over? What paint should I be using? Should I be using enamels? Should I be using sprays, brushes? What am I doing? So I start looking for painting tutorials, and everybody, or not everybody, but the videos I came across, the people seemed really kind of douchey. And like all these tutorial videos were starting with, oh, this is a tutorial on how to paint a Nerf blaster. This is my method. This is the method I use. This is the best method. All the other methods are wrong or do something wrong. And so much of the descriptions are why other people are doing it wrong.
So you know how our toy customizing community has, you know, caused some, you know, profiteering and sometimes fairly acidic personalities to, you know, grow out of that tree, along with a whole lot of really nice ones. Customizing Nerf guns is a whole other business all unto itself, I've come to understand. So I am not surprised to hear that there are some bags of sloshing douche out there in regards to that field.
Yeah, but I want to throw this dude some credit. I finally came across this guy, Lord Drac, the Nerf Vampire.
Yes!
Here's a link to his YouTube channel. Just like go on YouTube, look for Lord Drac. You'll probably find his videos.
With a C.
This guy doesn't come off douchey, and he really seems to have a deep understanding on how these things work. And like, he has some incredible videos where he's showing how to mod the internals of Nerf guns, like where he's redoing wiring and adding switches and taking out locks. And like, some of the stuff this dude does is pretty nuts.
Oh, I just saw a buzzword I'd forgotten about from back when I was getting into all this stuff. It's one of my favorite Nerf buzzwords is primary. Like, uh-huh. Like when this, like the gun they use in their Nerf wars, they call this is my primary and this is my sidearm. And I always thought that was really funny. It's like AFALS. This one here says his current primary. Makes me happy. I missed this whole scene. This was fun to watch.
Oh yeah. Well, that one, I'm looking at the thing. That's like an that is a completely scratch built gun blaster.
This guy has some skill. Now it's called a gun. It's a gun, and it shoots Nerf sticks.
Well, in one of these, the dude is he's modding a blaster where he's really jacking up the spring power, and to reinforce the brackets where the stuff mounts into on the inside of the gun, he cuts out all the plastic brackets and replaces them with brass.
That's hardcore.
Like he cuts brass brackets out of a sheet and mounts them in. Then I found he has another video where he's melting down silver. Like, he's got all these sterling silver pieces, and he's built a little crucible, and he's using a blowtorch to melt the silver, and then he's rolling it out flat so he can make jewelry later. This dude's pretty incredible. Like,
that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, this dude's kind of rad.
Also, that reminded me of I distinctly recall a whole thing about Nerf modding is that if you mod the insides too much, the plastic the Nerf gun is made of can't actually deal with what you've done for more than a few shots or something like that.
I do have a question, Seth.
Uh-huh.
What kind of paint did you wind up going with?
After I disassembled it, all the pieces that were going to be painted, I sprayed everything with a paint called a Duplicolor, which is a vinyl dye, which you find at auto supply stores.
Gotcha.
So I went to like a Kragen, and I found it there. It had a really nice, smooth texture to it, and it took a few days to dry. Like, I sprayed it, and then I left it in the garage for about a week. Yeah, and man, that thing has a rough odor until it's done drying. You know it's done when you don't get high smelling it anymore.
I just, from a painting perspective, I always find this kind of stuff interesting.
Or from a painter's perspective. So I sprayed the whole thing black. Then the green and silver parts, or metallic parts. For the green, I used Model Masters acrylic, which I had a bunch of from when I had a brief stint doing custom G.I. Joes. And the metallic parts were Citadel paint.
Which is really solid paint. The Citadel stuff is really good, even outside of miniature.
Yeah, so those I brushed on.
I actually used to use that in school instead of buying whatever fucking art supplies they made us get. I used to use Citadel paint.
Well, this Model Master stuff was a little cheaper. And I think it works fine. But they're both acrylic, so they dry fast. They don't have a lot of harsh odor to them. Acrylic's good to work with. But
yep, I like acrylic.
But that Duplicolor gives you a really solid base coat to work off of.
Yeah, I've heard of like Gunpla people using Duplicoat.
Then I sprayed a matte varnish over it from is it the Armory? I think it's called the Armory. I used their matte varnish, which I had heard good stuff about years back when I was doing Citadel stuff, or when I was doing Warhammer stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the varnish I used to finish off my Warhammer guys. So when I was looking for a matte finish, I went, oh, there's Armory. I've had good experience with them in the past, so I grabbed a can of that. Yeah, so that's my big, huge Nerf story. And I had to apply a little impulse control today because I saw these Super Soaker guns, and I thought, wow, those look rad. It'd be cool to have two and, like, dual-wield them. And they were on sale. They were only $13 each.
All that stuff is just why, like, Nerf is just too dangerous for me.
Slippery slope.
And looking at Nerf videos led me down the weirdest rabbit hole, there was a good week where, with absolutely no interest or intention of ever getting into Airsoft, I became addicted to watching Airsoft YouTube videos showing how to pull them apart and put them back together again, because I liked the sounds that all the parts made.
So you can, like, disassemble and reassemble a rifle, like, blindfolded now?
I don't remember any of it. I wasn't even watching the screen half the time. I just wanted to hear all the click, click, click. All the mechanical noises.
Yeah. The machine. So
there's the super soaker that I had to use some control over.
Oh, it's like, this is the best super soaker.
Now, one of the things that kind of stopped me was I looked up some video reviews of this thing. It's a lot bigger than I thought. And then that kind of turned me off with how big it was. But, I mean, for only $13. That's battery-powered and motorized also.
That looks like a bolt pistol. With the whole assembly in the front like that.
Yeah, if you modded it to...
Yeah,
to either cut down the barrel or build up around it. Actually, you'd probably want to cut it down. But it kind of looks like a sweet little submachine gun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool design in these things. And, yeah. I need more cosplay friends to paint for. Laser tag blaster, I'm probably going to end up sending to Dashiana to use in her Samara cosplay.
That'd be cool. I just think that, like, the design work that you just mentioned leads me to really wish there was just a one-time thing. Just the folks who design these things, the visual side and the engineering side, just come out and just do a little expose, just a little featurette. Like, hey, here are the decisions we make in designing the look, the feel, and the use engineering for Nerf products. Like, I find that really interesting.
One of the really cool things is, at least between the Super Soaker and the Nerf blasters, is that the tactical rails and where you attach optional stocks and all that stuff is cross-compatible. So here's that Super Soaker Thunderstorm with Nerf gun parts on it.
I'm going to stop looking at all this. I'm going to close.
I like the logo. I like the logo a lot. The guy's Urban Taggers logo.
Yeah, and like this Lord Drak guy, like in one of his videos, he talks about how, like, the stuff that he uses for Nerf Wars, when he paints it, he leaves the orange barrels for safety. But he's showing one mod that he did that doesn't have an orange barrel. Like, he made a Halo-ish looking gun. And he said that he's not going to use that for those things. He's going to use it for cosplay. And I appreciated that he acknowledged cosplay as something you could do with this, because one of the earlier douchey guy videos I saw, when he's explaining how you have to take the blaster apart before you paint it, you shouldn't paint it all assembled. I'm like, well, I agree with that, because that's just better for painting. He goes, the only people that paint blasters fully assembled are people who are doing it for cosplay and other gay stuff like that.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't like this guy.
Yep.
I don't like this guy.
Yep. That's a vocabulary. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm done with this guy and his dumb videos. I'm going to keep looking for somebody else.
How does anyone become macho over Nerf guns?
Well, and this guy's paint jobs were lame in the end.
And he's
just like, I painted it black and blue. It doesn't look like anything except for black and blue now. It's like, there's nothing cool about that.
Does he ever say the word Nerf in the video?
Yeah.
You can never say the word Nerf and not sound like a... You can't say Nerf and then get all chest beady frat boy, look at the size of my testicles banging the inside of my ankles. Nerf is a dumb word, and that's the whole fun of Nerf guns from the outside.
And with his paint jobs, there's no weathering, there's no shading, there's no highlighting. It's just flat colors, and it's just like, I thought it would look cool with teal on the handle. I was like, well, no, it doesn't look cool. It looks dumb, and you're dumb, and nobody likes you.
Yeah. No, no one likes... Well, he probably, there's probably people like him, but guess what? He's
not me.
There, and he's never going to breed with them. So...
yeah. Look at Lord Jack's videos.
Yeah.
He's not a scumbag.
Ugh. Man. 2013. Okay. Anyway.
So that's all I got this week. Oh, and I got a bunch of clips and extra ammo refills, but those aren't really interesting.
Oh, man. Tell me about your... different size
clips and stuff.
Tell me about your ammo refills. How many, well, nerf, how many packs of Nerf sticks do you have?
So with like that Retaliator, when you take off the barrel and the stock, like just the basic blaster part, I thought with a shorter clip stuck in it, because it comes with like an 18 dart clip. And so I got some 6 dart clips and I stuck one of those in there and it looks more like an SMG from Mass Effect. So it's a little closer. So I'm like, I'm kind of thinking like, what else can I do to it? Like, maybe I could, like, get some Bondo or something, fill in some of the gaps and details, like, kind of smooth it out a little bit. So, I'm still formulating. Like, and when I was doing, like, Warhammer stuff, I did a lot, I customized a lot of miniatures. Some of them were just as simple as cutting the arm at the shoulder and gluing the arm back on at a different angle. Some of them were more elaborate, where I was getting green stuff putty and sculpting more details on. And like a lot of that kind of energy is reigniting to like just look at stuff. Because like that's how I would do a lot of the Warhammer stuff. I would just sit there for sometimes a couple of days just looking at a figure for like an hour or two at a time and just imagining, just staring at it and like with my mind's eye overlaying different colors, overlaying different options. And I'm like, I'm doing that with these Nerf guns now. I'm just looking at them and imagining different color schemes. And that, I haven't had that part of my brain activated for a while, and it's exciting. So, if nothing else, I'm exercising that part of my mind again, and it's good.
It's always good to find another outlet to re-unleash the creativity, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like if it gets stuck up somewhere else, just try to find another spot where the faucet can open up.
That's why I still, even though I don't really play Warhammer or anything anymore, I still like to paint the models.
I almost was in that position. And then I was like, I was only able to justify the cost of all this because I was able to play games with them too. And
no, you get other than Warhammer models at that point. Yeah, I agree. Games Workshop is like, you could buy steak per pound cheaper than,
well, now, yeah,
models.
I follow some game, like wargaming channels just because I still like watching people talk about it now and then. And I was watching Mini Wargaming talking about how Games Workshop, you know, in the last couple of months decided to just try to nullify the e-retailer.
Yeah, yeah, and I saw that video as well.
Yeah, I was just, and this guy, like the Mini Wargaming guy, best video I've ever seen about it, because he was calm, he was smiling, and he was cutting them to pieces. Yep. Calmly. And I was like, in his position, I would not be, he is a mature gentleman, because everything he's saying is the worst stuff I've ever heard in relation to selling miniatures online and being the guys who make them, and just holy
business
crap.
In general, it's poor business practice in general,
I think. Nothing about that read well, and I was like, why would you, what year do you think this is?
I saw that when you linked to it, and yeah, he was presenting the information in a really good way.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he wasn't happy, but he also knew there was no point in raging about it.
So I think it was, he like, probably...
I'm presenting the information as factually as possible. Like, here's all the details so everyone can understand what's happening.
Yeah.
I think he probably had a rage session when he first found out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Cooled down, and then...
You could see it in the corner of his mouth now and then that this was a good while after he'd initially read it. Because there was still just every now and then this little smirk. And I'm like, that's not a happy smirk. This is so funny. Yeah,
you killed my business.
Yeah, I'm only smiling because that's the only way I can respond to this now. I emptied the other side of that. Yeah. No, that's cool. I hope you have fun with it. It's something like painting stuff. Whenever I do actually do it, like just a little while ago, I painted a Mini Pla Sentai robot, and I painted a Shapeways robot from Fakebusker. And that was so satisfying that weekend. Like, it, I just had these two things, and I was like, I painted these.
I made this.
This was me.
Yeah, and I've gotten some good feedback from just that scout that I painted so far, and I did kind of a rushed job on that. So,
yeah.
Like, I haven't painted stuff in a long time, and I'm painting at a size much bigger than I used to, so... Like, I'm still feeling it out, like, getting the muscle memory back, working the brush, and figuring out how to scale up in size techniques, and eventually get more and more ambitious, like, do more weathering, and, because, like, I've seen some that are just incredible with the weathering, like, finding the parts that would get a lot of wear and tear in real life, like, around handles and edges where, you know, you'd be rubbing against it a lot and simulating paint being rubbed off and bare metal exposed underneath. And like that stuff that I used to do in the Warhammer figures at a much tinier scale.
Yeah, you so get away just, with a lot more.
Yeah, it's just figuring out how to scale that up and still have it look good.
Oh, man. It's all, whenever people talk about a new creative endeavor of their own, it just makes me really want to start doing stuff I've watched videos of and just left at that. Like, I spent a good day a few weeks ago watching tutorials on how to, you know, like that thing that you can do with liquid sugar.
No.
Like, okay, so it's like you superheat sugar and water.
Until oh, you mean sculpting? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, yes. Like, and like you roll it on a yeah, plastic.
Yeah. I've seen like somebody make a chandelier lamp out of it and stuff.
Yeah. I watched sugar pulling. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So I was watching sugar pulling tutorials, sitting there going like, I should just take up sugar pulling as a hobby. I should just start doing it in the privacy of my own kitchen, just teaching it to myself as something to do, so that one day I can just bust it out and be like, hey guys, check it out, I'm gonna pull some sugar. And then I slept on it and woke up the next day just going like, that's a really good idea, but why would I do that? Like, what is possessing me to suddenly want to become an expert sugar puller? I've had those moments many times. well, that's cool. Aside from a new pursuit of Nerf creativity, anything else on your end, Seth?
I thought my mic was muted, so as you were gearing up to ask me that, I clicked it to unmute, and I muted it.
Oh. anything else? Click. Oh.
No. Like, again, like, I have all these pre-orders set that I have one thing sitting in my pile of loot, and I ain't shipping it until I get some more stuff in there. But everything just is rolling back farther and farther, and it's
good. That's more time all. To save. More time to save.
No, well, more time to just dump the money into Nerf guns, apparently.
Whoever saves money when their toys get delayed.
I try to. Nobody.
Yeah, everyone says they're going to, but all that happens is you go like, well, I have this free $60. I'm going to go buy this thing. And then the horrible month shows up, and you're like, where did all the money that I was going to pay for this go?
Well, and then, so I was looking on eBay last night, and I was seeing some good prices on, like, some used blasters. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, I wonder, like, seeing if, like, imagining, like, can I use these parts? Can I use this blaster? And then I come across people selling just, like, the drum clips, like the big 18 and 36 dart drum clips. I'm like, yeah, I've seen some Ravens with the drum clips, and they look really sweet. And so now I'm just looking at drum clips. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, this one's like $30. I'm like, wait a minute. I know this is the one that comes from, I think it's called the Ravager or the Rampage or something. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but I recognize what blaster it comes with. So I'm like, well, let me just see. And I go look up prices on that blaster. I could buy the whole blaster with the clip for less than this dude was selling just the clip for on eBay. I'm like, yeah, this guy's ripping people off. And then I started, like, coming across a bunch of auctions for, like, new Nerf blasters you could go buy in the store. People selling them for, like, $10, $20 more on eBay.
It's nothing new. You see that with Transformers all the time. It's just, it's blanketed across every market possible.
Yeah, I don't look at eBay money. That much. But, yeah, it's, yeah. do some price comparing. But like, I did see auctions for like a bunch of used guns, like really cheap. So you just got to watch out for those scumbags.
In general, watch out for scumbags.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
I like how you moaned as though you're a scumbag and now you're feeling hurt. I'm a scumbag.
What's the point? What's the point?
That's the point. Should have been more angry when you said that.
Yeah, that was the point!
I am a scumbag!
Haven't
you listened to my pre-order 66?
I'm in all the clips. All the interstitials.
I'm a scumbag.
I'm a giant in this industry.
I'm the one who knocks.
I'm a pillar.
Pillars.
Hey. I let that go.
Okay.
And it, because I'm so amused by how it just keeps coming up again. And it's true.
Well, hey, you're really drunk.
Empire, did you... So, just in the last week, did you get any toys, any figures, any collectibles?
And yeah, actually got... What? In your possession, not just pre-ordered.
Yeah, yeah. I got the Top Mag Wild Tiger.
Oh, the Fig Arts?
Yeah.
How is it? Because I've been eyeing it.
I really like him. It's actually the first figure art of that kind of body style that I've gotten. I guess like the Sentai body style where the arms roll at the top and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So did they have sufficient clearance to pull off a decent amount of poseableness?
Yes. At first, I was like, wow, this really stinks. I can't like move. But once I figured out how the joints at the top of the shoulder work and everything, I was really happy with it. I really like the way that joint works as opposed to being like a cut in the bicep. It's up at the top. And it makes everything look a little more fluid. I was impressed. I was quite happy with it.
Yeah, they perfected that on the Jetman mold. The Shinkendra one, where it first appeared, it's clearly the first time they did it, and I'm so happy that got better.
I remember you talking about it on not the Jetman guy, but I thought it was one of the guys with the dual pistols or whatever.
Oh yeah, Deca Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do it as good on Deca Ranger. Gotcha. But Jetman is where they hit it. They just got it. They were like, here's how we do it. Here's the clearance we need.
Well, I quite like it. I would recommend it. I mean, do you have all the other figure arts?
I got the regular retail ones. I've been thinking of trying to get 1 minute Wild Tiger for the hands.
I have everything except for like the movie version and the open face Wild Tiger, and I really want the open face Wild Tiger.
Yeah, I still only have my original. I still have my original Wild Tiger with my whole story of how I got the only one that CS Toys had at the time when it was so hot to get. And
now there's a million of them everywhere.
And just the whole long story of all the parts for that figure that are never all included with one.
Yep.
It's just crazy. The crazier part is that they only ever did the good luck mode once. I didn't know that until the other day. I was watching some reviews. I was just curious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the good luck mode, as far as I understand it, only ever came with the original retail release.
Oh, well, excellent. I'm glad I have that one.
Yeah, I wish I had more hands, but that's the accessory I want on that toy.
Yeah, I think if you like, I mean, Wild Tiger was my favorite character out of the show. And if you like that design, I think the figure does a great job and you can get him in some nice poses. It looks good with everybody else. So yeah, get him. But okay. I also got... Hot Toys Last Stand Wolverine X3, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I jumped in on the Twitter convo on that.
Yes, yes. I like him. I think he might be a little pricey for what you wind up getting, but I think it's definitely a solid sculpt that I tried to show in some shots that it photographs pretty good, but I think it looks really good in hand and looks decently like Hugh Jackman, a lot better than the original one does.
Mm. Yeah, I remember the... Like the point I was making when I was looking at your pictures is that with the kind of face they did, it's just like with a real person pulling a grimace like that, it's not going to look good from every angle, because a real person doing that doesn't look good from every angle.
Yeah, and the point I was trying to get across also was like, when you picture a person in general in your head, I'd say 90% of the time you're not picturing them in, you know, in an extreme facial pose or whatever you want to call it, facial expression. Yeah. You're picturing them neutral, so I think that ruins the likeness for people that way as well.
Mm-hmm. But, and also, getting a toy that has anything but a neutral expression on its face is going to be polarizing, I think. Because I think some folks just want a toy that can stand there looking stoic.
I agree, mm-hmm. And I think it's nice, but I do like it, especially because they've done a stoic one already. That they mm-hmm. And I think Wolverine is a great character to do very angry. But it's a nice change of pace if they incorporate it as an extra head or whatever.
And it's not like they're not going to ever do other Wolverines.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the new movie and then the next X-Men movie, I'm sure there's going to be more. So
yeah,
it's fun, and the Sentinel head is cool. So if you're looking for a Wolverine, it's definitely way cheaper than what the first one goes for. So
snicked.
Yep. But that's all I've gotten in the past week. So
yeah. Woo. Oh, we had a podcast.
We did.
I think we're hitting the end. I can feel myself hitting the end because I am having trouble unslurring my speech. I've been doing too much today. I was at work, then I went straight to... I didn't expect this, but I ended up then sitting in on a multi-hour audio post-editing session and then ran over here. And my brain is starting to catch up with all that.
What? You're an hour behind me now?
Yep.
Yeah. 3 a.m.
It's all starting to catch up. I was like... Yeah. So thank you, Seth, for coming by, as always.
Hey, it's thanks for joining us, Seth.
Oh, why don't you chill?
Oh.
Well, you know, I was going to thank Empire, but he got all surly, and I don't know if I care for that on my podcast.
You should just edit me out. Don't put my audio in at all now.
I'll just go in and do a dub. Yeah, I got a Wolverine. Yeah. That's all I'll do. Yeah,
you should really listen to the previous odd episode because we do amazing impressions of you.
I really have it queued up when I'm going to try to do it this weekend.
Really cool impressions.
I heard something about Michigan.
Michigan.
That's been a few episodes now.
Yeah. We even had a thing about Illinois, but I forgot how long ago that was. Illinois.
That's what they call it on the street.
That's right, the Illinois.
It's an Illinois.
I just basically what I'm trying to collect is all the ways to really irritate all the major states, just so I can just throw them all down in one sentence eventually, like my masterpiece that will just finally cause America to declare war on Canada.
Oh, all right. So it's like a Cobra Commander plot.
That's right, Crimson Rain, baby.
Crimson Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Crimson Rain.
Yeah. I'm just going to let that keep going. So that's one ending. So ending number two. Yeah, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to. What did
he send me? Oh, my goodness.
What did you send you?
Us. Seth sent us.
Oh, that's the Retaliator with the barrel and stock taken off and different size clips.
In the chat, not in the...
Oh. That's a bunch of drawings Dashi edited recently.
Oh, cool.
The Sailor Scouts teamed with Pokemans.
Sailor Moon's SH figure arts apparently did so well that Tamashi, at least the English-speaking side, is all saying, hey, maybe female figure arts can do well, which... Yeah, where's
Blue Rose?
Yeah, that's basically what it means.
That Bluefin is sold out of them, apparently.
Really?
Yes, we were told that they've run out of their stock.
I don't mind, because I was looking at it, and I always fall into that thing with a new figure arts, new property, of like, I should get that. But I was like, I'm not a Sailor Moon fan. Someone else needs this more than I do.
They just need to release Blue Rose and Dragon Kid. I'll be so happy.
Is it bad that I want Dragon Kid Casual Mode more than Dragon Kid Hero Mode?
I do too, but I don't want a figure at zero. I don't like those.
Yeah, you're right. That's ending number two. Ending number three. If you want to leave us a voicemail, our Google voicemail inbox number is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830, which something will happen with that. Something.
876-5309?
Huh? What's that?
Dial it.
No. I'm in Canada. That's long distance.
867-5309.
Round out
911 is a joke. Any other songs with phone numbers in them?
I'm just going to share a screenshot with you guys. I'm going to send it to you guys. It's a screenshot I just took from my desktop of this computer.
Of this Computron.
Yeah.
I'm still...
At least I didn't do this in the chat for like 12 seconds.
Hey, listen. I was bringing a special brand of productivity and professionalism to your podcast when you had me on. That's all I'm saying. When I sat in your chat and typed the word dicks in all capital letters multiple times in a row.
I think we should have like a TFWX pre-order 66 mashup of everyone at once. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and then we'll... Who should we make edit that?
You and Dan have to do it together.
That's same just going to end up being me putting all the work on him while I go to have a sandwich. Like, it, I mean, it'll deal. Still turn out well. You know what? Yeah, I do like this plan. All right. Well, that brings us to our fifth ending to the episode. So we'll catch you guys later. And stay safe.
By stay that, I mean, classy. America.
Don't go to New York.
Forget about it.
Add all that up. I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators and they're here to stay.
I thought you meant all of us at once. I was like, can we even record that many people?
No.
Not in a way I'd ever have fun editing.
Yeah. Chris is not Dan.
Dan is insane.
I don't think Dan has fun doing what he does.
That's why he's insane.
Way to go.
I know.
Is he on Skype right now?
I dropped a ball. No, you already took his slot.
Dun, dun,
way,
dun.
Way to be the scorpion of our injustice gods among us.
What?
That's right. I'm on a stepladder.
Keep reaching. Keep reaching.
I'm on a stepladder with a grabby claw.
Get over here?
That's right.
Good chat, Seth. Good chat.
Your chat.
You know, you didn't say that before. You're not going to say vulgarity towards me when you're recording?
Huh?
Huh?
Oh, what? What? You don't think I'll call you with the microphone on?
No, you didn't call me that, but
welcome
damn.
To the new side of the coin. This is literally the worst way to listen to music ever.
That's not music.
I'm going to call someone and ask them to play me an album over Skype. Well, no, we got to stuff a few things in here because we're, you know, we're got to keep up the fine pre-order tradition of 15 intros and 15 outros.
Yeah. I don't like when a show doesn't end when it's trying to end.
And 15 minutes of everything that got cut out. That's not music.